Things go away, such as upcoming DLC for one major game and a publisher of video game guides. But there are new releases on the way too, and we will talk about all that and more on This Week, on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Forge Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It's Orange Lounge Radio. Live tonight, episode number 752 for this, November the 11th of 2018. My name is Rob Roberts, joining you in studio with my co-host, Techmaster Loki. How are
Hello.
You?
I'm fine.
Good. Good to have you back here. It's going to be our last show for 2 weeks. Well, yeah, because we won't be here next week. So This is the Thanksgiving special, I suppose.
Woo!
Woo-hoo. Although we will be here the Sunday after Thanksgiving, which will pretty much be right after the Black Friday holiday, which...
Steam sale.
Supposedly.
All sales.
All the sales, really. Well, what's interesting is that usually that's the point in the year where, like, okay, that's it. All the video games are out for the year. They're all out
now.
Not this year. No, you're right. Because especially Smash Ultimate is probably, like, the huge exception.
And the same day as Smash Ultimate
is
Earth Defense Force 5.
How could I forget? You're absolutely right. Earth Defense Force 5 is also coming out that same day. Not here tonight in studio, Dark Soccer or Jamie Summers. She is still on a work conflict for a little while. She will be joining us through Radio Magic later in the show. Of course, you guys are joining us in our chat room as you do every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, when we tape live at the Voice Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com. We tape, of course, Sunday nights at 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show. And if you are listening to us live, you can join our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. And as I mentioned there, a little programming note, we will not be here next Sunday. I will be in Las Vegas, or actually on Sunday I will be coming back from Las Vegas, having just attended the Final Fantasy XIV Fan Fest for the year 2018. It's kind of like BlizzCon, but for the other MMO that a lot of people play, Final Fantasy IV. Actually, there's plenty of MMOs that lots of people play, but you know, Final Fantasy XIV is another big one, and it's one that I've been playing pretty much. I played the 1.0 version of the game, okay? I suffered through the 1.0 version of the game, but my love of the online Final Fantasies goes back to Final Fantasy XI, which Loki and I used to play as well.
Yes.
Do you still get the emails like begging you to come back to Final Fantasy XI?
No.
Oh, it's I. They're showing up on my Instagram. Final Fantasy XI is like advertising on Instagram, and they're doing some big campaign right now, and I didn't even see all the details. If I want
to
know the details.
I would love to come back to Final Fantasy XI.
If they make it free.
Where is Final Fantasy XI that I can come back to? Isn't it not online anymore? I mean,
no, it is. It's been online for PC. You cannot connect anymore on PlayStation or Xbox 360. They took off that support.
It's only PC. I thought they shut
the whole thing down. No. The PC version is still going. I have a friend that still plays it. So it's still there. And they still add to it. They're still doing little things here and there. I mean, since they use basically a made-up language, they'll talk about all these new zones. And I'm like, I have no idea what that word means, but sounds cool. Go off, I guess. So, yeah. So, but this fan fest I'm going to in Vegas has nothing to do with 11. It's all about 14, which, you know, I do enjoy. I've been on a little bit of a hiatus from 14 just because I don't really do the raiding. I don't do a lot of the end game progression that other people do, so I'm just kind of in a lull right now. But that's why I'm excited to go to this event, because it will be inevitably announcing next year's expansion, because it's a very obvious pattern now. And not only that, but they'll probably get to, you know, do some special fights on the computer, special stuff, and there'll be some panels. And most of all, most importantly, concerts. So they're doing the two concerts again. So they're going to have a piano concert one night, and then they're going to have the Primals, which is the band fronted by Soken, who does the music of Final Fantasy XIV. And even if you don't play Final Fantasy XIV, even if you have no interest in MMOs, seriously, go listen to some of the soundtrack songs of Final Fantasy XIV, because it's amazing. And Soken has done a great job. So his band will be there and with that concert. So I'm just excited to just take that all in. And some other friends of mine are going to be there. It'll be good. Anyway, we're going to get into tonight's kickoff topic here in a moment, which is also about Final Fantasy. First, I want to address a couple of things that don't have anything to do with video games, but I think they're important to say. First of all, happy Veterans Day. I think that's very important because I know we have plenty of veterans that listen to Orange Lounge Radio. So I just want to thank you for what you do and your service and you know, defending our right to have this show to have our lame-ass opinions and the freedom of speech that everybody defends out there working hard in our military. So happy Veterans Day to all of you. The other thing I want to address is that it's really smoky here in Sacramento. Like, I went out last night and I had to wear a mask because of all this smoke that's everywhere. It's awfully inconvenient, but it's nothing compared to what's happening up the road a little bit in the town of Paradise. Or, I can't even believe I'm saying this, what was the town of Paradise? I don't know if y'all know this, but if you've ever read my bio on VogNetwork.com, I actually went to Chico State for a few years, and I was involved with like radio up there. So Chico is kind of like the larger town in California. Let's be real. When you go north of Sacramento and San Francisco, there isn't a lot from here to the border. It's a very different California. It's the redwoody part of California and foresty. You know, it's very different from what y'all might think of if you haven't been to California before. So Chico is one of the larger towns because it has the school. But I distinctly remember I had an old roommate who used to fix computers in the town of Paradise. And there was a road. You'd take the Skyway. You go up the Skyway. Paradise is a lovely town that sits up on the hill. And some gorgeous views from up there. It's why they call it that. And just, you know, I do remember visiting the town and having memories. And I'm just, I'm like shocked. I'm in a state of like, OMG, just hearing that the town is gone. And it's not just affecting Paradise. I'm hearing now it's moved into Magalia and some of the other cities up there that I bet a lot of you probably don't know because they are smaller communities in California. But it's just very, 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 very scary. And obviously, this is not the only part of California that's on fire right now. It's just it's the one that is, you know, kind of like I feel like I have a little bit of connection to it because I know a lot of people from those days that are being affected by this. But certainly the town of Thousand Oaks experiencing multiple tragedies this week. I mean, we had the unspeakable event that happened at the Country Western Bar with the shooter. And then now they're on fire too, and that's affecting Malibu. And I'm sure some of you guys have been hearing about that one because of the celebrities posting that their homes are gone. It's crazy. It's so, so crazy. And I was really, really disappointed. I don't like to get political on the show, and I like to keep it video games, but I was really disappointed that our leader of this nation could not write a humane tweet about the situation and instead felt the need to use it as an opportunity to attack California when I believe over 90% of the forest land in California is actually federally overseen. So congrats, you played yourself, jerk. But I was so mad about that. But anyway, again, I promise I wouldn't get political, so I'm just going to swallow that thought. But it was just very, very irritating to read about. But if you want to try to make a positive about it, no matter where you're at politically, I would refer you to a page. I don't often do this, but it's just a great compilation that one of our local television stations put together because I don't want to tell you to do one charity or the other charity. Everybody might have different ways to look into it. So this is a shout out to one of our local TV stations, but it's cbs13.com/help. So it's a very easy to understand URL as well, cbs13.com/help. And if you see a charity in there that looks like something you could help out with and help these folks up in Paradise, Magalia, the North State, and people that are facing this, I think that would be really, really great. So I just wanted to give a shout out to that. Okay. Anyway, I had to get that off my chest. I know it doesn't have to do with video games, but some things are a bigger deal. I heard some video of it was making its way around video game blogs. Like one of my friends was like, did you see the video on Kotaku with the fire? And I was like, "What? Why is it on Kotaku?" But I mean, these are things that impact us all, gamers and non-gamers alike. Okay, let's shift gears, Loki. Let's talk about video games because that is the podcast y'all signed up to hear. And when it is smoky outside on a day like today, I know I sat in the house and I played video games all day, which we'll talk about during my gaming week. But some people might be playing games that are not going to have much DLC in the future, right, Logi?
Yeah, this is one game that I played like 10 minutes of and really need to go back to at some point, but I'm not doing that yet. So Final Fantasy 15, they have announced that 3 of the 4 upcoming pieces of DLC have been canceled. And right now, the one that is remaining is going to be coming out, looks like, next year. And so the one that's left is going to be the Arden, and that'll be coming out March 2019. So the RNA, Luna, and Noctis pieces.
Ariane, I think is how you say it. I don't remember, but yeah.
Those are canceled.
Hmm.
And then along with that, they said they're going to be releasing a short form anime called Final Fantasy 15 Episode Arden Prologue.
Hmm.
And that's going to be coming out. Looks like they have teasers that are been coming out on December 15th, and it's going to release on January 10th. And then they've got a Final Fantasy 15 multiplayer Comrades, which is going to be coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and that's on December 12th.
The multiplayer's been out. This is some type of like standalone thing, right? Okay, yeah. Okay.
And it's going to be some standalone thing that'll include new bosses, costumes, weapons, and whatnot. So they have multiplayer in the game now, man.
I know they patched in a long time ago, and I never bothered to check it out, which might be part of the problem, but we'll get to that.
And then, of course, they said that there's going to be a collaboration with Final Fantasy XIV online, Adventurer from Another World, and that's going to be playable in Final Fantasy XV. I don't understand how that's going to work, but that's in December 12th as well.
Interesting. Well, I know they did an event for Lightning Returns in Final Fantasy XIV, and like Lightning shows up in the world of 14, and you kind of like work with her in some fates, and then if you get enough points from participating, you can dress up exactly. I think for female characters, you get an outfit that looks just like Lightning. For male characters, you get an outfit that looks like Snow. So, yeah, that's what you got for participating. So I imagine the 15 crossover will be something similar in 14. And then I don't know if they'll put some of the bosses in 15 or what they're going to do. I don't know how that's going to work. So we'll see. But, I mean, still kind of a big deal that these big DLC pieces are canceled. And the guy left. He left Square Enix. The guy who'd been designing all this is left, which is a pretty big deal as well.
Yeah, so Hajime Tabata, he had left, and he had taken over for Tetsuya Nomura back in 2013, but
right.
He's gone now.
Because Tetsuya Nomura is probably over on Kingdom Hearts 3 now, cranking that out, and then still has the Final Fantasy VII remake to do after that.
So I wonder if there was like some sort of disagreement or something that caused him to leave. Maybe that's why that's canceled.
Well, the disagreement may be that they were talking like a $44 million loss or something like that on all this. I mean, it's pretty incredible the hit. I mean, I don't know if it's specifically this, but like Square Enix kind of took a hit.
Seems like they're
general.
Trying to recreate 7, like the phenomenon that was 7 with all the spin-offs and everything, and it's just not ever getting to that level.
Right. I have mixed feelings about this because I know 15 has its fans, and I wouldn't even say I don't dislike 15. It's honestly in the scope of all Final Fantasy games ever, 15 is probably somewhere in the middle of the pack for me. It's higher than 8. it's higher than the original NES trilogy, which I think those NES games were good and they were important, but they're outshone by what the technology of the later games can do. So I think I would rank it above some of those. But it's certainly not as good as 4, 6, 10. For me, I mean, every critic is going to have their own list of how they rate the Final Fantasy games. And certainly I know the how I feel about 8 is extremely controversial. But 15, I would say, is somewhere in the middle of the pack. But I think the thing that frustrates me and what frustrated me about 15 to begin with is that I bought the game. I played this game start to finish. I enjoyed it for what it was. And then it was like, oh, hey, we're going to keep changing this game. But like Final Fantasy was never like this online persistent experience to me because it was like, it takes you like 50 hours to beat this game. I don't know. It depends how fast you all play. But like to hear them say, oh, we're going to go back and change chapter 13 or whatever. Like, yeah, chapter 13 was kind of busted and probably needed to be relooked at. But I don't want to go back and just play that one chapter. That doesn't do anything for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not the biggest fan of, like, editing these games massively after they're released. And then 15 just kind of, like, continued to do that with this model. Like, I know some of the DLC was, like, spin-off stuff, and that was fine. That's, you know, a way to do it. But I just felt like, in a way, and I think a lot of you kind of felt like this, is that with Final Fantasy 15, it was like they were consistently adding to this game what they wanted to be there when it actually released, but they weren't able to actually put in the game because they were forced to put the game out by a certain time because it had been in development for so long. Although we all know that game's real development was only like the last 2 or 3 years of the cycle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That especially if you go back and look at the original Versus 13 trailer, it is very clear things were scrapped, things were changed, and probably when this creative change happened, the entire thing was scrapped and redone, which, you know, kind of goes back to just sometimes how the big business end of things can really screw things up, and it's what really ticked me off about the Mass Effect franchise too. Now, what's weird is that with the Mass Effect franchise, I kind of wish they would have been able to do some DLC, but the DLC in Mass Effect would have been different. Like, it would have been after the game. They wouldn't have been trying to go back and change the game in progress. And when they started to do that, which, by the way, they started to do in Mass Effect Andromeda, was go back and change all this shit about the game in progress, I lost interest completely. I was like, here we go again. The game I bought is not the game they wanted to put out. They're going back and changing everything in the middle. You know what? I'll go back and play it in a year when it's actually done. And unfortunately, that attitude across the board with a lot of people probably helped that game to flop. And now they're not going to do the Corian DLC. And, you know, that game is not remembered fondly. But in my opinion, EA fucking hosed that game by forcing them to release it when they did. I know that game had been in development for a long time, but again, I think the real development cycle was really towards the end of it, and it needed 6 more months in the oven, and we would have had a different story here, I think.
Yeah.
But what else do I want to say about Final Fantasy 15? And then I'll look at our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. But with Final Fantasy 15, it's just like I don't want to say I'm happy in this news at all, because I don't want to take delight in the loss or in the, you know, I'm not one of those people that wants to see game companies suffer, because I know that means the game makers suffer, and that's not, I don't see how that's going to make games better. Like, sometimes I read Twitter and I'm like, the fuck are you people thinking? Like, these are like people's jobs and stuff. But at a higher level, I am kind of like, in a way, like, glad they're gonna finally walk away from Final Fantasy 15 in a way. Like, I mean, they have these other little things to cap it off. I'm kind of glad they're gonna walk away from Final Fantasy 15 and they can focus on the next thing creatively, which I hope there's a Final Fantasy 16 in the works somewhere that hopefully has been in the works for a while and hopefully will be done by the time they want to release it. But I'm a little worried, because is it just me, or is Final Fantasy 7 Final Fantasy 16? That's the impression I get. This Final Fantasy remake is being treated like it's a full Final Fantasy title. So the Final Fantasy 7 is Final Fantasy 16, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that's where it's going. So, but I just hope, again, creatively, like, I think Final Fantasy kind of just needs a kick in the pants with a new single-player story. I don't know if this did it for a lot of people.
You can go back to turn-based combat.
Dungeon Buster over in our chat at live.vognetwork.com giving me the numbers I was trying to reach for earlier. $33 million from changes to Luminous Studios. Square Enix did not have a great quarter, but Japanese fiscals tend to be pretty dry. Octopath and Shadow of the Tomb Raider apparently did okay, but we have no idea or numbers from Square Enix on how well they actually did. But we do know from NPD that Octopath, anyway, was kind of a sleeper hit here. It was the number one game of the month, which I don't think anyone was expecting for that to do. So we do know some little things here and there. Let's see. Sia Tiberi in chat says, was it you guys who said that Final Fantasy VIII and The Spirits Within should have been swapped? That Final Fantasy VIII was more cinematic and Final Fantasy The Spirits Within would have been better fodder for an actual game? Yes, I have said that before. Both of those things were in development around the same time, and I think Final Fantasy VIII as a movie would have been amazing, and I think there's a lot of ideas in The Spirits Within that could have been a great game, and then it would have felt more like Final Fantasy, I think, maybe, if it had been a game. Perhaps others won't agree with me, but that's my opinion. Let's see. Dungeon Buster continues with another thought here. I wasn't a huge fan of Final Fantasy XV's direction, but it had enough to keep me on top of the hunts and grind through its dungeons. It's still really surprising how far Square Enix was cutting back, however, with this news. Tiger Claw in chat, talking about the Mass Effect thing, says, is it a little too soon to reboot Mass Effect? I don't know if anybody wants to see them reboot the Shepard story. I think it's a good idea to do somebody else's story in the same universe. I think that's what they tried to do with Andromeda. Andromeda was Ryder's story, and by setting it in this whole other galaxy, that was Square Enix's creative way of having your choices from the original Mass Effect trilogy not have as great of an impact and not need to have as much to account for in Mass Effect Andromeda. I, as a Mass Effect fan, I would be okay if they want to do somebody else's continuing story in the Mass Effect universe and do something like Dragon Age did when they did Dragon Age Inquisition, and do like an online thing that lets you revisit like seven of the biggest decisions from the Mass Effect franchise and kind of like tailor how your Mass Effect universe went and then kind of go from there. Like, I don't think it has to import my Mass Effect 3 save and know every little nook and cranny of what I did. I would be okay if it was like maybe 50 years later and some of the big decisions have an impact. Like, certainly there's going to be some of the big questions like, did you cure the genophage? That's going to have a lasting effect. You know, what was their control or synthesis, you know? And they may have to, for the sake of creative reasons, say the canon ending is the destroy ending. This game takes place 50 years after the destroy ending of Mass Effect. And although I know there will be fans out there that would be like, but my ending, I would be totally okay with that. Like if BioWare came out and said, this is a Mass Effect game that takes place after the destroy ending and what happens here, I would be totally fine with that. So, all right. Looking in our chat with other comments over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. Dark Tetsuya says, and on that note, when was the last time we saw any new trailers or anything for that, the Final Fantasy VII thing? At E3, Final Fantasy VII was nowhere to be found, and they didn't do PlayStation Experience this year, so they could do the Game Awards or something like that, or they may just sit on it for a little longer, which makes us all wonder if that game is facing some development struggles. Who knows? So... Dungeon Buster says, yeah, no reboot of Mass Effect, but they can reboot the gameplay with new ideas and hopefully new stories. And Bobby Blackwolf says, hey, then they can make another game that takes place after the non-destroy ending. They could, but I bet they would be more interested in making a trilogy that takes place kind of in the same general world. But we'll see. We'll see.
Why don't we just do it like Pokemon, where they have, you know, red, green, and blue or whatever, you just have, this is the story ending one, this is...
I think the reality is so much would be different depending on your ending that they would really be two separate games developed concurrently, and I just think
that's the
financially
problem.
That's not the best idea.
They really need to take the Fallout 4 approach where it doesn't matter what you do, it all ends up being the same anyways.
Honestly, to get another Mass Effect game, I would be completely okay if BioWare says, these are the canon changes that we're exploring, and... due to limitations, we're just not going to be able to allow you to import your own Shepard experience, which wouldn't even matter. I mean, if they're going to come out with another Mass Effect game, it would be for like PlayStation 5 at this point. I wouldn't expect that you're going to be able to import a PlayStation 3 save file onto your PlayStation 5. It's fine. I can let that go. Just give me a good freaking Mass Effect game.
Of course, they can't even play PlayStation 1 games on the PlayStation 4, so what makes you think they're going to be able to import any sort of saves in the PlayStation 5?
Mega Man X400's in chat saying, calling it right now, Final Fantasy VII Remake will become Final Fantasy 16. It will be different enough that Square will say it's a new game. That would be risky. I could see them taking some changes and liberties with the story and maybe trying to do something like that, but it would be weird.
I don't think they would ever do that.
I just see them releasing it as Final Fantasy VII and just dropping the word remake. Why not just do that? I would think that is more plausible than Final Fantasy 16 I think they're developing something else. They've got to be. We saw a Square Enix, like, Crystal Tools trailer or something. I remember seeing something for the PlayStation 4 that showed all this, you know, crazy stuff that Square Enix was working on. I don't think it was intended
to be.
That was
their engine.
Yeah, but, I mean, people thought, is there Final Fantasy 16 stuff in there? Probably not, but there might be pieces in that, you know, that maybe they're going to work with. I would really like to see Square Enix. Here's what they could do, in my opinion. They're probably using Final Fantasy XV's engine for Final Fantasy VII Remake.
You don't say, based on the trailers.
Yeah, right? Which is fine. I would be completely fine if they use Final Fantasy XV's remake, or Final Fantasy XV Remake, Final Fantasy XV's engine to make Final Fantasy XVI, but instead of it being like the Broad Trip type of game, give me something that makes me think Final Fantasy IX. I'm not saying literally those characters and all that, but like, you know how Final Fantasy IX was a throwback to like the classic Final Fantasy? Like, Vivi looked like a black mage.
I'd rather it be Final Fantasy VI, but you know.
No, but I'm saying give me like that classic Final Fantasy taste in that, because Final Fantasy VII isn't even really that either. Give me that type, whether, sure, Final Fantasy VI inspired or whatever. Give me that classic Final Fantasy taste in Final Fantasy XV's engine as a Final Fantasy XVI game. New story, new characters, just with the medieval look as opposed to the cyberpunk look. And I would be super into it. I would love that. So, we'll see. Let's see. Dark Tetsuya says, Final Fantasy XV remake coming to the PlayStation 9 in 2040. And then Mega Man X400 follows up his comment and our reaction by saying, don't be mad when it happens. I won't be mad, but it would be weird. It would be so weird. But you know what else?
Final Fantasy 15 remake. Hey, we just finished Final Fantasy 15. We've tweaked all this stuff. Let's make a Final Fantasy 15 remake.
To be fair, to Delvin's credit, to be fair, you know what else was weird? Final Fantasy 11 being an MMO that you had to pay a monthly fee for. So you know what? That was weird too.
Or cool?
Well, the game turned out great, but I never understood why they just didn't call it Final Fantasy Online. Like, would that have been a terrible thing to call the game? Like, would less people have played it if it was just Final Fantasy Online? I don't think that would... I don't know. But then what would Final Fantasy 14 be? I guess it would be Final Fantasy Onliner.
Well, 14 was weird, too, because it's like, yeah, we have all the same races. We're just going to call them something different.
Well, that's because 1.0 is garbage. And then the Realm Reborn is fantastic, but they were pigeonholed in all the garbage decisions 1.0 made. So they did the best they could, damn it. Dark Tetsuya says, like how Phantasy Star Online did it. Yes. Oh, yes. Then Final Fantasy 14 could have been Final Fantasy Universe. Ha ha. Ha ha. Even if not as many people enjoyed Phantasy Star Universe.
We're going to get a goddamn Final Fantasy game that's going to have the Destiny model where it's like this single multiplayer garbage.
It's called Final Fantasy 15.
Oh. Is this what I've missed not playing the game?
No, I'm not being fair, but think about it. All of a sudden, like, now there's an online mode. They want you to, like, keep grinding things. It's just weird. I don't know. I don't think I always understood all the approaches they were on Final Fantasy 15. Maybe you disagree with me, and you can send an email. That's fine. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email with your thoughts. Bobby Blackwolf says, yes, but then Final Fantasy Universe wouldn't have been released in the U.S., frowny face. That's Final Fantasy Online 2. By that thinking, because we did get Phantasy Star Universe on Xbox 360. I loved it. I love Phantasy Star Universe. Like, I don't understand. Debate for another show. Everybody hated that game, and I was like, it's really not bad. You know what game I really loved? The single player PSP game that was Universe's engine, but they made a single player PSP game. I don't remember. It was Phantasy Star. I don't remember what they called it, but it was great. Because it was like a completely different game than Universe, but it was just like that exact same engine, but single player. And it was great.
Hmm.
Anyway, trip down memory lane. Well, let's take a trip down memory lane of our gaming weeks and talk about the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Loki, how was your gaming week?
It was okay. I played a little bit of PlayStation VR. So I did, like on Friday, I finally remembered, oh yeah, that's right, Tetris Effect came out this week. So then I decided to sit down and play it for a little bit, so I did, and I liked the, you know, new tracks that were in there. But yeah, I did run into the problem with it drifting to the left, unfortunately, because I was playing in PlayStation VR, so that was a little bit irritating. And then I decided to try some of the other games, because I've had a bunch of VR games sitting on my hard drive. I just haven't bothered to actually play them yet. So one of the ones I was actually looking forward to was Just in Time Incorporated, which is a VR game. It's a silly premise where you're this government agency or some sort of agency that gets to a location right before people are about to die, and you have to prevent them from dying, usually by killing somebody else. And it's pretty funny. So like the very first like kind of tutorial mission that they put you in, there's this person in an alley, a seedy alley next to like a strip club, and there's this guy charging at him with a knife, and because you're wearing these special gloves, everything moves 10 times slower than it would in real life. So what you do, you just grab the knife out of the hand of the guy that's about to stab him, and you stab the guy in the face, and that's the end of the mission.
Okay.
And it's awesome. It's hyper violent, and it's a silly, fun game. So it's like if you were, I don't know, crossing Job Simulator with a hyper-violent game. I don't hyper-violent Job Simulator.
Okay, I can dig it.
And then I did play a little bit of, I stream more DDR, and I had the heart rate monitor working, but unfortunately Fitbit decided to just MVP their whole Windows 10 app. And so the Windows 10 app sucks ass and doesn't work all the time. In fact, I only got to work once with the actual, with it being able to detect my Fitbit. So now it won't detect it anymore. Like, I got it to sync just fine with my computer. I got the heart rate monitor display because we have recorded footage of that. And everything was perfectly fine. And sure enough, to turn on the next day, none of it wants to work again. And I blame the app and Windows 10 because Windows 10 is buggy as fuck. So, you know. What are you going to do? So I guess I have to buy this unnecessary dongle that's got a plug in there to sync a Bluetooth thing to my computer, despite the fact that I have Bluetooth built in, and it was synced to it at one point. I don't know. It's stupid, but that may be what I have to do to get it to work. Or just not put it in there, because that may be the other option, since it's just being difficult. We'll see. So there's that, and then I was working a little bit more on my Stepmania theme that I was going to put on the cabinet, once I load Stepmania on there, so I was doing a little bit of that, and picking out songs I want to put on there as well. Then, and my new DVD drive that's going to be able to put that super disc on there, that is coming very soon, hopefully. Actually, it last scanned in Washington, so it's just a few states away. Hopefully going to get it next week, so we'll be able to do that preferably before 20 November.
It's the big day you're shooting for, huh?
Exactly.
Makes sense. So, you going to do like an epic DDR stream on 20 November?
Probably not, because it'll just be after work, but We'll see what we can do.
All right. My gaming week. So I finally set up the PlayStation VR because I needed to play me some Tetris Effect, which just came out, of course, on PlayStation 4. I talked about the demo a little bit last week and how much I enjoyed that. And so obviously I was going to get the retail version of the game. We all knew that. I have said it on the show before. I'm a huge fan of Tetsuya Mizuguchi. I don't know if there's a game he's done that I didn't like. I even kind of thought 99 Nights was all right. Like, but as far as things like Every Extend Extreme, Luminous, Meteos, Space Channel 5, like, I've always really loved these games. So when I heard that he got the Tetris license and that E3 trailer, I was like, I was already sold. Like, I didn't even need a demo. I didn't need anything else. All I needed was that, hey, Mizuguchi's doing a Tetris game. Sold. Done. Right? Like, what else
it's
do I
basically
need?
Mizuguchi is doing a you know, it doesn't matter. It's like, okay, I'll buy it.
He can do a bullet hell game and I'd buy it. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, he's great. I'm such a fan. So I'm saying that kind of as a disclaimer, because maybe my opinion is a little biased because I've always been a fan of his, but I fucking love Tetris Effect. Like, it's outstanding. It's one of my favorite gaming experiences in the last several years, honestly. And I know there's people that are probably just going, it's just Tetris, though. All right, but this is, like, honestly the best version of Tetris they've done. And yes, I'm including the original NES. Yes, I'm including the Game Boy version. Yes, I'm including the DS version that was pretty good, too. That's not to say any of those versions were bad or, more importantly, important, because I think the original NES version, of course, I mean Nintendo's version, not the Atari version, although it was important for its own reasons, too. The Game Boy version was massively important, but Tetris Effect is, like, the best one, you know, and using the technology that's available today.
And they have an homage to the Game Boy Tetris song in Tetris Effect.
Oh, do they? I haven't discovered that. Yeah. Oh, I haven't discovered that yet. That's pretty cool. I've discovered, you know, in some of the marathon modes, or what are those?
It's
stuff.
In one of the effect ones.
Okay, yeah. The effect stuff, some of it has, like, the classic Tetris, like, brick styles and stuff, which is cool. So here's the thing. So some of you are probably going to be skeptical and you're like, Rob, it's $40 for Tetris. But here's the thing is, especially in VR, it's an experience. It's a trip. Like, it is relaxing. It is engrossing. It is beautiful. Like, there's I don't know how else to describe it. Like, this is a great application to sell PlayStation VR with. Because you know what makes this great? You know what makes this great for PlayStation VR? Is that it's not like a jump around and flail with the PlayStation Move game. Not that there's anything wrong with those type of games, but I think it says a lot that the experience of playing on PlayStation VR, where you're just simply sitting on the couch with your headset on and the controller, that playing this in PlayStation VR allows the world around you to literally disappear, especially if you're playing with headphones on and, you know, really immersing the sound as well as the visuals. It allows you to really just focus on the game and the experience of the music and the art that is being created as you're playing this game. Because even though, yes, you're removing distractions in the real world, you know, there are, I'm using my quotey fingers, distractions that the game provides, but it really feels like a journey that you go on. When you complete lines, like let's say you're playing a stage where the background is an ocean that you're flying across, and when you complete lines, dolphins will come out of the ocean, like in the rhythm to the music and do things. But then, like maybe after you've cleared so many lines, things kind of like go underwater, and then it's like you're just doing this trip. But Tetris is just that central theme. But like, the nice thing is everybody knows how to play Tetris. You know what I mean? I'm not saying everybody knows how to play Tetris well, but everybody understands, I think, the basic concept of Tetris. Yeah. It's not an incredibly difficult one to explain. So this is just a really easy game to get into. And even if you don't have PlayStation VR, I still think there's a lot here worth seeing, especially if you like puzzlers. I mean, this is Tetris if it was done like Luminous. That is exactly what it is. There's really nothing else for me to explain about this game. Either you're going to understand that description or you're not. Because you've played Luminous, you're either going to understand or you're not. But even if you don't understand it, I really, like, check out some YouTubes. Check out some people playing it. Check out what it looks like. And just see for yourself, like, what a trip it is. But if you can, if you have a friend that has PlayStation VR or something, really, you owe it to yourself to check this out in VR and really experience how the total immersion in a game like this can really change the game playing experience. It's really something to behold. And then I guess one other thing I'll say about it, again, the whole, like, it was $40 for Tetris. You got, like, the main journey or story mode that has lots and lots of skins that you unlock as you're playing the game. But then there's also, like, this side mode, this effect mode, where you have sometimes weekend competitions and you do this... you can do like mystery blocks, or you got to clear 40 lines as fast as possible, or you have to clear particular poison blocks on the field in a certain amount of time, or you have to clear one line over and over. Like, there's all these different types of like edit modes, so it doesn't really feel stale. And, you know, all these different type of edit modes have their own skins, and you're trying to play to unlock them so that you can just do your own mode with the skins that you like, if that's what you want to do. And, you know, that's another thing that's available to you. But, I know the game is beginning to haze a little bit because many people remember Tetris for multiplayer, which is what the NES version, the DS version, and the Game Boy version really all brought to the table, right? Was the multiplayer. Did the NES version have that? Maybe not. Did the NES version? No, it did. You could do side-by-side multiplayer. Yeah. It's been so long, Loki. I knew the Game Boy one was infamous for that with Link Cable and everything. Okay, yeah. The original NES did. No, I don't think... I think Tengen Tetris had it. I don't think NES Tetris had it. Somebody in chat, let me know about that. Did Tetris NES have multiplayer? Because I don't think it did. But anyway, I know the Game Boy did. But anyway, I don't think the game totally needs multiplayer. I kind of feel like that's a door they left shut, because if there is a Tetris Effect 2, and I really hope there is a Tetris Effect 2, and this game deserves a Tetris Effect 2, I have a feeling that's a door they'll open and explore. But for this, they wanted it to really be about the immersion, the experience, and when you are sitting there with a VR headset on, maybe looking at another player to yell at them about how they're stacking up lines on you is not something that really fits in with that picture. You know, you can't really immerse and do multiplayer, I think. So maybe that's why they made the artistic decision they did. So Dark Tetsuya said Tengen Tetris did two modes, in fact. And Mega Man X400 says NES Tetris had multi. I thought it didn't. I thought the Tengen one did, and that's why people crave that cart more. But I didn't think. Oh, well, it doesn't. ultimately, at this point, that game is how old? This is the new shit. Get on Tetris Effect. Leave the multiplayer behind for a little bit. If you must play multiplayer Tetris, get the Tetris DS because it's a great version of that. And has many other great stuff too. But this is worth it on its own merits. as far as other games I've been playing this week, I have been continuing Diablo 3 on the Switch. I was streaming a little bit of that actually, and I'm just about to hit level 70 on my seasonal character. So I've been making way on that. Otherwise, I don't think I've been still playing a little bit of World of Warcraft. I think my little warlock there is level 118, so I'm almost to level 120 where I can do the cool kid end game stuff. But for right now, just still stuck on level 118 and trying to work on that. So that is about it for my gaming week. So we'll get on into the rest of the news for this week. Usually I would do housekeeping, but I've already told you we're not going to be here next week. So, but I look forward to talking to you guys all about Final Fantasy Fan Fest. You can always follow me on Twitter, of course, if you want some tweets, because I'm sure I'll be tweeting up a storm while I'm there. Maybe if the cell signal is decent, maybe I'll do a Twitch stream from the convention floor, because that's something people do now, right? So
yes.
Yeah, maybe I'll try doing that. If, big if, my cell phone signal cooperates. I don't remember how good it was or wasn't at the Rio, because they had it at the Rio in 2014, but they did it at a different hotel in 2016. So I don't remember what the cell signal was like there. But I do remember in 2014, one of the gifts they gave you in the goodie bag, which I thought was brilliant, a little cell phone charger. And it was already like full and ready to go. And I was like, this is brilliant. Sadly, I don't think they've already released the contents of this year's goodie bag. I don't think they have that. You get like a full, like actual backpack this year, which is kind of cool.
Cool.
Yeah. But they also released an update about how we're all going to have to go through metal detectors to get into the convention just because of the way the world is in 2018, just compared to even 2016.
Yeah.
When that wasn't a factor. But that is what it is. All right. Anyhow, let's get into some other gaming news. Loki.
All right. So this is sad, but Prima Games is shutting down after 28 years. Prima, of course, you may remember, does strategy guides for such games, like we were talking about earlier, Final Fantasy 15, for example, or you know, I think even Grand Theft Auto and that type of stuff. So they're going to be closing their doors. I wonder why. Now, they're not closing until next spring, but they're not going to be publishing any new strategy guides for the remainder of this year.
Aren't they the ones that are here locally?
I think they are local.
They're the ones that are out in Roseville, right? Because I know there's two big strategy guide companies, and I think Prima's the one that's out in Roseville, which is not far from here.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I don't remember if that is them. I think it could be, though.
I think it is. But, I mean, regardless, it is still... still a little, I mean, I would say it's surprising, and at the same time, and I hate to say it, like with the internet having dismantled regular instruction manuals,
but,
as we know it.
Like,
but I mean, strategy guides were always a heck of a collectible.
And also, like, it's sometimes, yeah, I know I can use the internet for like certain things. Like, I know with Grand Theft Auto 5, I bought the strategy guide twice. I bought it when they had, you know, the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3 version. Then I bought it again when it came out for, or was it 4 I'm thinking of? I must be thinking of 4. I don't know. One of them. I probably bought it for 5 as well. No, I did definitely buy it for 5. So I bought it again when the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC versions came out too, because they had a whole new strategy guide, and it was, you know, you needed to 100% everything,
so,
which I still haven't done.
Prima is located in Roseville, and I'm going to get very local for a minute, but it's for Loki's understanding. You know how there's Kaiser out in Roseville?
Yeah, I know where it is.
Target's on one side, Prima's on the
other. We were going to, well, myself and Jamie, we got invited to go there
time. That's right. You guys went there once, and I didn't go.
But we ended up not being able to meet with them. Like, something got canceled last
I think
minute.
Jamie did. I think you didn't. She did. She did. I know she did. But anyway, that was a long time ago. I don't even remember if that was like a secret meeting or what that was all about.
It was a long time ago.
Doesn't matter now. But it's still unfortunate to hear, you know, what that's all going through over there.
Yeah.
But I think again, it's just the whole, like, the internet industry just really kind of, people go to GameFAQs, people YouTube.
IGN,
YouTube is
YouTube,
a huge thing too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Bobby Blackwell says, nobody reads game guides anymore. It's all about the YouTube walkthroughs. Even GameFAQs gets less used these days. Cuddlebucket in chat, I like that name, says their money probably came from licensing, I think. Can't imagine sales for physical guides have been great since the internet age. I always kind of saw, I saw it more as like collectibles. People just like to have that coffee table book, you know?
I mean, I used the hell out of Grand Theft Auto 5 one because it was, you had to make sure that you didn't miss anything so that you can get 100%. And I know with like games like Red Dead Redemption 2, there's ways you can miss missions and stuff in the game if you don't do everything. And Grand Theft Auto 5 was kind of like that too, with some of the characters you can pick up for the heist missions and stuff. If you didn't do the one thing at a certain time, you'll miss it. And that's what the guide comes in. And also finding collectibles, because fuck that shit, having to search around for collectibles.
Yeah.
Tell me where they are, and I'll just go pick them up.
Kaijudo in chat says, oh, strategy guide. I thought it was the game mag. The game mags suck. No, I don't think Prima had a game magazine.
I don't think so.
Maybe they did at one point, but they were definitely more known for the guides,
Yeah.
And that was, I remember when you'd go into Game Flop and it would be like, oh, I'm going to pre-order this game.
They do that now.
Do it? Oh, you want to get the strategy guide with it?
Yeah, you get 20% off the strategy guide.
Doesn't Game Flop use their own like in-house game guide creator at this point?
No, I don't think so.
I thought they did.
Because like Red Dead, you can buy it, or they even have one for like Super Mario Odyssey, and it's like they're starting to get like phone book thick.
With a game like Red Dead, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Sia Tiberian chat says the strategy guides almost felt like enhanced art books sometimes. And it's not a bad thing though, right?
Some of them were. Like I had a poster of a Final Fantasy VII strategy guide and it was like its own unique art and stuff.
I think Alan has a bunch of, Alan used to love to buy those guides like back in the day because we have a bunch of them on the bookshelf in the back. They're for like old ass PlayStation 1 games.
Well, now they're collectible, they really are. More collectible items. Yeah.
They are, yeah. So anyhow. Moving on, let's talk a little bit about some news out of Microsoft, because Microsoft had their X018 event this weekend in Mexico City, which was pretty cool because, usually it's like, oh, they do something in New York, Vegas, Los Angeles, maybe Europe, maybe Japan, but you don't often hear of like a big game event in Mexico, so that was pretty cool that, they got something there. So for the X018 event, we did get a little bit of news. I would say probably like not major stuff on the par of what you get out of a PlayStation Experience event, which reminder, they're not doing one this year, which is interesting. But with X018, we did get some minor updates, including the fact that PUBG is going to be added to Game Pass. Microsoft continues to really try to push the Game Pass, which is, it's hard to argue with that. They're really trying to up the value of that. Another game that they're going to be putting on Game Pass, Crackdown 3, which has its official launch day.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
February 19th, 2019 is the official date. Might depend on the part of the world. The article I'm looking at says February 9th.
That could be Europe, yeah, because that would be a Friday.
No, it is 15th. I think there's a typo in the show rule thread. That's fine. So it's February 15th, my bad. Heaven forbid they make you wait 4 more days, Loki. You've been waiting how long?
No! No! No more waiting! Done! I'm done waiting. I gotta say, though, I did watch like the trailer for it, and Terry Crews is awesome.
Of course.
I must add, because had this like Terry Crews trailer. It's totally just like an Old Spice commercial right there, but like he had one where it was him yelling at himself, like, because it was his character, and then him playing himself, and telling each other to be like prepared for anything or something like that, and it was ridiculous and I loved every second of it, but like I saw the gameplay. Oh man, they have really toned down the visuals on that. Like, okay. It's not like, remember, ooh, we need the cloud, the cloud's got to process all this destruction because it's so crazy. And now it's like this multiplayer mode has an arena that you can destroy. It's not the city, it's an arena. And it's kind of, it's not as, like, as a spectacle as, it was before. I'm still going to buy it.
Yeah,
I don't fucking care,
yeah.
But it's just like, it's disappointing.
Okay. Let's see. Also, this is a pretty big deal, I think, for some people. The Final Fantasy XIII trilogy is being added to backwards compatibility on Xbox One. That's pretty cool. except for the fact that, you know, the games I own are all on PlayStation, but that's fine, whatever, congrats.
Well, you just have to wait for that PlayStation backwards compatibility.
Yeah, yeah, ha-ha. But that's really cool for the Xbox folks. I think they said something about Civilization Revolutions getting, like, a 4K.
And enhanced, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty rad. So, cool. If I had an Xbox One X, I'd be really excited, but I don't, but I still think that's really cool. They're supporting that. They did show another Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer with the 100 Acre Wood. They talked about mouse and keyboard support on Xbox One coming very soon, and they did confirm Fortnite will be a mouse and keyboard game on Xbox One. So, cool. Even though I would kind of wonder why you're not using a PC, but I suppose not everybody has a PC as beefy as perhaps an Xbox One X is capable of processing. So still pretty neat, I guess. And then they did detail some of the expansion for Forza Horizon 4, where you're going to be looking for treasure in lightning storms. So it looks like it'll be kind of using that weather stuff again, but this time it's going to be lightning.
Can't take any damage from the lightning, so what's it matter?
Yeah, exactly. Who cares?
Like, lightning. I mean, with all these stuff I've crashed into, my
if lightning hits the car, that's actually safe. They say you can be in a car, and if lightning hits the car, you'll be fine. It's like a big conductor, I guess.
But if lightning hits the car, then she's not going to be very effective in all those backwards compatibility games.
Stop it. So here's the thing. Then the biggest news, by far the biggest news out of X018, in my opinion, two more studio acquisitions. So do you remember how the big news coming out of E3 was that Microsoft acquired like five or six at E3? Guess what? Now they've got two more. So they have acquired InXile Entertainment and Obsidian. That's a pretty big deal, especially when it comes to RPGs. So they are definitely getting their chess pieces in a row for whatever Xbox One's successor is, next box, if you will. I don't think you're going to see any huge announcements from these companies right away, but I definitely think Microsoft is positioning the chess pieces so that when they announce next box, I really think they're just going to be like, and we're going to have this game and this game and this game and this game and this game, and they're going to go like all through their studios. And I really think that's an E3 that's coming, is when Microsoft is going to be like, not only are we putting out this system, but game from this in-house, game from this in-house, game, 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 game. And they're going to really try to one-up the hell out of Sony and whatever they've got in store for PlayStation 5, hoping and praying that Sony isn't cooking up as many exclusives of their own.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, track record, though, Sony does release some big exclusives, but If Microsoft can time it to get like all six or seven of their studios to like put out one game every other month for an entire year, that's going to be really fucking impressive.
Yeah.
Do you think that's the direction Microsoft's headed in? Because I sure do.
Probably because I think the system's lacking exclusives.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to help. I mean, that's really the only piece of the puzzle I think that they're missing. That and, you know, Japan, but yeah.
Akuma JP in chat says, and again, Microsoft is buying their way out. Well, money talks.
That's what companies do, though.
That's what they do. How else are you going to get exclusives? If they really, I mean, because there's a part of me as well that still goes, well, Microsoft still feels like they're writing off Japan. If Microsoft really wanted to turn some heads, they'd fucking buy Capcom, Konami, Namco Bandai,
no, by Konami.
Like one of the big. Well, actually, I would be totally okay with Microsoft. Like, honestly, I'm gonna make the case right here, and y'all are gonna disagree. I don't give a fuck. I think the way to save Konami at this point is for Microsoft to buy it, and I think that would be a wonderful thing. I would love to see Microsoft buy Konami. You can send those hate mail to Rob Roberts, care of Orange Lounge Radio, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. But let's be real, y'all hate Konami's management. You all hate Konami's management. So why not get rid of them and replace them with Microsoft's management, which some of you are probably thinking, God, that would be even worse. But is it right now? Like, I don't know. Microsoft's management's in a much better place, much, much better place with the Xbox One than it was when good old Don Matrick was unveiling it. Sports, 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 TV, TV, TV. So I would kind of love. Now, I'm sure it's a little more complicated because Konami has their arcade division. Konami has the casino stuff, which is all really big too.
Speaking of which,
maybe there's a way that they only buy a case set. I don't know.
Speaking of which, was it according to the 20th anniversary DDR thing, supposed to be announcing a new game next week, maybe, or in a couple weeks?
Oh, in time to 20 November, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, probably time with 20 November, if anything. So, if Microsoft really wanted to do something big, they'd buy Nintendo.
You can't buy Nintendo.
No, you can't buy Nintendo. Nintendo has way too much cash on hand. Even after the Wii U kind of did not live up to expectations, it doesn't matter. Nintendo is swimming in money after the Wii. I'm just being fan wank completely. It's not as easy as Microsoft buying Nintendo.
You just need to form a strategic partnership with Nintendo where they take care of their online and then Nintendo can make some games for them.
She-Hulk in chat says Microsoft should buy Nintendo. There it is. Or Bill Gates should, and then we can play Gears of War on the Switch. Again, Nintendo, although in theory you would think, you know, Microsoft has endless amounts of cash, so does Nintendo. So it makes them very difficult to buy in that regard. But again, a division like Konami's home computing division is not where it
I'm
used
telling
to
you
be,
right now.
And I think is really ripe for the picking.
Whoever releases the next Ridge Racer is going to be the winner. It comes down to is we need a new Ridge Racer game. Speaking of which, and actually, go ahead.
Sorry, this is a great comment from Dungeon Buster, live.vognetwork.com. They're building up their backlot the way Netflix is gobbling indie filmmakers. That is a awesome comparison, in my opinion.
Yeah, unfortunately, they don't release several season or new seasons of some shows that I really like that are indie filmmakers as well. But what are you going to do? At least they're not. Hey, it could be worse.
But they could be buying EA
or buying games. You know, or they could be like EA buying game companies and then sucking them dry and then throwing them away.
You know what, though? Netflix is the company that brought us Chris Pine's dick. So you know what? All is forgiven.
Okay.
It's some new movie that came out on Netflix, I guess.
I did see that Chris Pine was in something, so yes. I will now not watch that.
Well, your wife's going to make you.
She's not going to make me. Okay. She doesn't give a shit about Chris Pine's dick. No, I was going to say...
SSG100 Matt says, never thought we'd talk about that tonight.
No, I was going to say, you know, one game that I'm surprised we haven't seen Nintendo put out yet, being that they have new games out in the arcade, the Cruisin' series. Their latest one was a Cruisin' Blast or whatever it was. That's a Nintendo game in the arcade. They should put that on console.
Why not?
They should. Well, they also should make some other racing games too, but you know.
I'm okay for everybody in chat that's like, I don't want to see that movie. I'm sure there's lots of titties as well. I haven't watched the movie myself, and let's be real, I'm not gonna watch the movie. I barely have time to play video games
anymore.
This
is what the internet's for. The internet will screen capture that shit.
Are you saying the internet is for porn?
I'm saying the internet is for finding things without having to suffer through the rest of it.
Dark Tetsuya in chat says, yeah, that reminds me what Akuma said. Whatever happened to the supposed Ridge Racer sequel? Whatever.
Well, there was the one that was on PC and then, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on with some more stories. Going on to Loki.
All right. And apparently with the Fallout PC beta going on, people have already developed mods for it. So they have a mod called Hairspray, which allows you to customize the hair color of your Vault Dweller beyond what is available in the game. Of course, this being, you know, an online game, the only person that's going to see that is you. So it doesn't matter. No one's going to actually see that. But apparently, you know, there's other mods available. Like, for example, there's one that has, it's been in actually several different Bethesda games, but a lock picking bar. So it shows you the sweet spot for picking a lock, which allows you to pick a lock pretty easy without wasting too many bobby pins. But I'm guessing that maybe they're going to be patching the mount once the game comes out. Oh, then again, who knows? But what's ridiculous, though, speaking of patching, Fallout 76 is going to be getting a day one patch that's actually larger than the game itself. So The game, I think right now, is about like 45 gigs, and the day one patch is going to be 54.64 gigabytes, which is ridiculous.
Goodbye, get bandwidth cap. Are we sure it's not like a patch that just bridges the gap between what's on the disk and that like maybe just a few gigabytes of the differences between? That sounds like insane to me.
I don't know, but it's pretty bad that they have a patch that big, and I don't know what they're going to be doing. I mean, aside, they said a large number of bug fixes, performance enhancements, feature changes, and I don't know. So we'll see. And apparently, they're working on, fighting off some hacking exploits. I don't think that much of what they're going to do is going to have any effect on that. I think it's going to be a big old mess, but I'll wait and see because it's not a game I'm planning on picking up.
All right. I don't really super get into the Fallout series. It's just one of those things.
But I don't like the fact that it's an online game.
Yeah.
I'm kind of tired of that. I like Fallout being just like, even like with Skyrim. And that's kind of ironic because Skyrim, like, I would like that to be a multiplayer game. That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be fun just like as in like co-op. Like I want to play co-op with somebody and play through Skyrim. That would be fun. Not I want to play online with people that are going to try to kill me and nuke my shit. No, that's not really entertaining for me. I don't know.
All right. Well, earlier in the show, I brought up Mass Effect and what could be in the future of the franchise. And this past week, we had N7 Day. I don't know if y'all know that, but N7, which is kind of the name of the Special Forces unit in Mass Effect, is usually celebrated November 7th. And historically, BioWare used to do some big reveals and announcements on N7 Day. That kind of slowed down the past few years, especially, now that Andromeda's been out or what have you. But they did come out and say that on BioWare's official Twitter, they basically said, they did this whole thing with like the memories and what the series means to them and all that. And also they did kind of stealth announce that an Xbox One X patch for Mass Effect Andromeda did go live. So you get some, I guess, little 4K enhancements. But if I remember right, PlayStation Pro kind of had those already. So this would bring it in parity with PlayStation Pro and probably some of the same stuff that's in the PC version anyway. But still, still cool. I'm not trying to poo-poo it. It's nice. It's nice for the people that are playing on the Xbox One that they get that. I guess it's better resolution and HDR lighting. So probably just some of the same stuff from PC, to be honest. But anyway, Casey Hudson, who's now the general manager of BioWare, but of course he was a big part of the original trilogy, he basically did kind of come out and say that the tweet text or whatever says that in Hudson talking about this, saying that there's future BioWare games in Mass Effect and the Dragon Age series. So Mass Effect is not dead. There will be no killing of the franchise. The quote that he said, it means coming into the studio every day dreaming about what the next great Mass Effect game will be. So I guess they'll revisit it at some point in the future, but I'm still not pre-ordering Anthem, EA, the way you treated Mass Effect's Andromeda. I'm not going to be jumping up support Anthem, so good luck. Good luck, y'all.
Just to give you hope on how EA is treating things.
Well, isn't there like N7 armor available in Anthem or something? I heard about that.
No, I'm sure that's going to be a thing. But I was just going to mention, since it's not on our show roll, there's a game called Battlefield 5 that's coming out.
I've heard of this game.
Yes. Uh-huh. But.
Oh, God. It's the whole thing where it's like 3 weeks early or something like that.
But if you subscribe to their PC service that allows you to do all these games, you get it like 10 days earlier. Oh, but and if you order like the premium edition or whatever, then you get a few days after that. And then if you get just the base game, well, you're going to have to wait until the 20th or whatever it is.
Well, I hope EA has a 100% quality product on their hands, because when that does release early, the internet is going to fucking tear it apart, just like they did with Mass Effect Andromeda. And if the slightest thing is wrong with that game, it will be under a microscope, just like it was with Mass Effect Andromeda. And basically what I'm saying is, EA, you should have learned your fucking lesson already.
Or Battlefront
2.
Yeah.
Like, I feel bad for the developers. I'm going to leave it at that. I hope the game is 100%, 100.00% quality because any flaw in that is going to be under a microscope. And then you're going to get those fucking tweets that are like, I canceled my pre-order because you fucking flopped this in Battlefield. Blah, 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 blah. And I guess EA kind of forgot that, like, the first week sales of a game is really important. And I'm sorry, all of these people are not going to suddenly shell out twice as much money to play it 3 weeks early. It's ridiculous.
It is dumb.
So, anyway. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, Rob was about to go on a Loki-style rant, and Loki interrupts it to defuse it. I'm the only one who rants here, bitch. I don't think that's what you said, but...
That's not what I said.
I didn't really have the full-on rant. I said what I needed to say. We'll just leave it at that. All right, let's move on, Logie.
So Sony's got this PlayStation Classic that's going to be coming out on December 3rd for $100. And, of course, they announced all their games with that. And now with different websites kind of showing little previews on how it looks, we get to see, you know, what exactly we're getting for $100. Well, apparently the console is going to be using standard USB controllers, so the, you know, non-DualShock PlayStation controllers. So that's at least cool, because maybe you can use that on your PC and stuff. The other thing that's kind of interesting is that it's running an open-source PlayStation emulator called PCSX Rearmed. So they're using basically just a PC emulator on this console to emulate these games, which begs the question... Why do I even want to buy this then?
Because it's cute.
It's not, though. And they have a lot of games from, it seems like, from different regions as well. Like, they have the European version of, let's see, it says, yeah, they said a lot of the games that they booted up on the PlayStation Classic were in the European version. So, like, Final Fantasy VII, for example. Then also, like, Grand Theft Auto. You had to, like, click on a UK flag to display the text in English. Mm. I wonder, though, if that's not necessarily so much that it's a European version of the game, or if it's because DMA Designs at the time was, it's a European company, so, you know, it would make sense that they would have a European flag on there. I just don't know, like...
It wouldn't be the first time I've seen the English language represented by that flag.
Yeah.
It's not, like, something to be... It's not a newsworthy piece of news, in my opinion.
And they're saying that, you know, the thought is because the fact that it runs the emulator is probably why that there's such a limited support for, or there's limited amount of games on here, because the games supported by the emulator aren't necessarily like the vast library. Also, they're saying that some of the games like Ridge Racer Type 4, it has this like blurry dithered effect on the text, which probably looked good on a normal TV, which I remember it looking fantastic on my old TV because I had an old 13-inch CRT, but now looks really blurry and hard to read, which, yes, that's how it looks like on my computer. So,
interesting.
I don't know. So you might want to cautiously wait for this. I think it's neat, but do I really need another thing I could put NES games on? I don't really...
Bobby in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says the C64 Mini runs Vice. This is a popular thing to just have these minis running emulators. They want you to buy it because it's all packaged nicely. It's for people who are not tech masters and don't already have the emulators themselves. He has a fair point. It's, you know, it's supposed to be that attractive thing on the shelf that grandma's buying you for the Christmas tree.
I get that. And that's why the SNES Classic and the NES Classic are fantastic, because those games look great when it's upscaled on a TV.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say, though, this is kind of the awkward generation, the Nintendo 64 and PlayStation 1.
Sure.
It doesn't hold up
that
as
first
well.
3D,
like,
yeah, no, I got
Nintendo
gotcha.
64 might be a little bit better because, you know, Mario 64 is a great game, but, man, it's rough. It's rough to look at, you know, maybe like the PlayStation 2 Classic emulator, whenever that comes out someday. Maybe I'll be on board with that, but, like...
Only if it has Magic Pen Gel.
Magic Pen Gel, hell yes. And I don't know. Like, even like the Japanese game lineup was like way better too. Like, I wanted Armored Core, goddammit.
All right. Well, I know one game that
I'll get it when it goes on sale.
Bobby Blackwolf says PlayStation 3 Classic has Eye of Judgment, then it can be a million seller. Oh, that's wouldn't that be great if all these years later they finally
the
sell
PlayStation
a million,
Eye?
They finally sell a million copies of Eye of Judgment.
It'll never happen.
And by the time you're 50 years old, you have to dress up like Tingle.
Motherfuckers.
All right. I bet there's so many people that like listen to, well, there's not a lot of people listen to OLR, but I bet there's a lot enough now that probably don't even know what that joke was. So we made this bet when the PlayStation I was first announced. So it was a long time. What were we calling it? The Brown Eye of Judgment or something?
No,
like that?
It's because they had this game. We saw it at E3.
Yeah,
we went
did.
To E3
yes.
and we sat through a demonstration. Like,
they're playing
where
cards.
They're playing
cards.
A card game. I'm like, I don't fucking understand why I need to buy this. To play yes. this stupid card game. Just play the card game. Why do I need to see the TV?
So Loki took a bet, and the bet was that they will not sell a million copies of the PlayStation of Eye of Judgment. And he said if they sell a million copies of Eye of Judgment, he would dress up as Tingle for the webcam that we had at the time and come to the show. The closest we ever got was one Halloween, you came dressed up as Sackboy. From Little Big Planet. You remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
You had a really fancy little Sackboy costume. That was about as close as we got. But we wanted you to be Tingle, which... the other closest thing is that Flappy... I always forget about Flappy Vogue. It's been so long now.
There's that. And then there's
like a
also,
hidden trick in
there
that
was
to
also,
get Loki's Tingle.
It was one of our old listeners. He works at a game company that had a Kickstarter. And one of the Kickstarter things was like if you got... I don't remember if it was likes or like random drawing or like donations or something like that. Someone would draw you in like a certain style. So I had the girl draw me.
Oh,
as single.
Yes. I remember that. Okay. I do remember that. And then there was I remember there was an episode. It was the last episode we ever did on Live 365 before we moved to All Games Radio. So that was a long time ago, right? Because then that was before Vogue, right? So there was we did like a list or something. What could Live 365 do to get us to stay? And I think one of the winning answers was purchase 1 million copies of The Eye of Judgment. oh my God, I love this. So This is recursive right now, but I don't care. So I'm actually looking at the Orange Lounge Radio wiki because there is a wiki that that fans have done. It's not something
yes.
I don't think I've ever edited an article. I don't even think I know how. But there's actually a whole article on the Orange Lounge Radio wiki, orangeloungeradio.wikia.com, about the Eye of Judgment bet on September 23rd, 2007.
Wow, that's old.
Loki exclaimed that there would be no way that the Eye of Judgment would sell any considerable amount of units. Upon hearing this, Rob in the chat room suggested that they should start a bet
yeah,
with
I
Loki.
I hear it now. Oh, yeah? You want to take a bet on that?
The bet was that if the Eye of Judgment could sell a considerable amount of units, Loki would dress up as Tingle. Loki accepted the bet and set the rules. The Eye of Judgment must sell 1 million units in 6 months worldwide. This was later changed from 6 months to all time because then you got cocky.
Yeah.
After the rules were set, Rob suggested another condition. While dressed up as Tingle, Loki would play an online match of Eye of Judgment with Bobby Blackwolf and set the PlayStation Eye on fire in the middle of the match. I don't even remember that, but that's awesome. Kudos me.
And we would still totally do that. I mean,
I know.
You just
have
to find
like,
a PlayStation Eye. And...
I kind of feel like Loki would just do that for free without the Tingle outfit. Bobby, do you have a copy? On March 2nd, 2008 at 6:59 p.m., Loki changed the bet once again. And combined the sales requirement total with the game, Let's Ride Friends Forever for the bet. But then, on June 11th, 2010, the bet was declared over. Why did we do that?
Because I think it was never going to... I don't know.
On November 11th, 2018, the bet was reopened. Can we get on that, please? On November 11th, 2018, the bet was reopened because now there might be a PlayStation 3 Classic someday. By the way, you guys are so fucking awesome. They even have the final results. 304,769 plus 43,355 equals 348,124. Note, VG Charts did not have any sales information on the European version of Eye of Judgment or sales information on any version of Let's Ride Friends Forever that wasn't the DS version. Y'all fucking brought your receipts. I'm so fucking proud. Thank you, Wiki people.
I'm checking right now to see if there's an actual copy of Eye of Judgment for sale on eBay that I can burn. Oh, hey, $10.99. That's not bad.
Cuddlebucket in chat says, this scenario needs to have Dark Sakura in the background looking disapprovingly. Are you kidding? She'll be handing him the match.
I can get a complete set, including a PlayStation Eye camera, because I don't know where the hell mine is, for
$26.99. Wow. Yeah, all right. Well, maybe we'll just do it.
We'll
Twitch.
Be one more.
We'll do a Twitch stream someday. Loki almost does. Since it sold a third of the requirements, Loki performs a third of the bet.
And there was the Eye of Judgment Legends, which was on PSP. I just don't think it ever sold a significant amount of copies to count.
Ugh. All right. Oh, SS200 Matt says it ended production. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was what caused us to say it was done. But I'm sorry, that's not fun to end it. So it's reopen.
You just have to get.
You just have to convince Sony to do it again.
Convince was it? What's the physical game company that they'll make physical copies of digital games? You just have to convince them to do it.
Oh, there you go. To make their own Eye of Judgment throwback
release.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, I love it. I love it. All right. Anyhow, let's move on to one more story here before we get to the classic game of the week, and it has to do with another very modern VR game, and this game is. A lot of fun as well. It's not one you can just sit there on the couch and play, but it's still fun. It's a game called Beat Saber. Excuse me. I have the hiccups. The game is called Beat Saber, and it's going to be coming out on the PlayStation 4 on November 20th, which made a lot of music fans chuckle because November 20th is a date usually associated with Dance Dance Revolution because there's a song that, well, actually, it goes back to Beatmania over and over again in the Bomani franchise called 20 November. So, and there was even a 19 November in one of the 2DX. And didn't they do a 21 November at some point? I feel like that was a thing in 2DX at one point. I don't know.
You're thinking of September.
Maybe. I see what you did. All right, anyway. So Beat Saber is going to be coming out on November 20th. And, of course, this is the game that you play in VR where you slash beats that are coming at you. Sometimes you have to, duck or, kind of, move around these, the manifestations of walls and things like that. And this game is also a little bit controversial because you're not just graded on your technical performance, but you are graded on style. How much flourish do you have with your moves? So it'll be very, very interesting. Also, some features. There's supposed to be some extra PlayStation exclusive tracks, like 5 PlayStation exclusive tracks. And there's going to be some brand new campaign mode that wasn't originally in the PC version. But the makers of Beat Saber have been working hard on the port. I do believe they plan to go back to update the PC version to have the campaign mode. I don't think it'll have the tracks, but modders will take care of that, certainly. I mean, if they put the fucking B-movie in Beat Saber, then they'll put these 5 missing songs in as well. You can all look for that on PC soon. But for PlayStation 4 people who don't have Oculus or HTC Vive, you can check that out on your PlayStation VR on November 20th. I know I will be because I really enjoyed Beat Saber when I played it on Bobby's HTC Vive when I was at Dragon Con earlier this year. Are you going to be looking into getting the Beat Saber?
Maybe.
You should.
I don't know.
You should. If nothing else, check it out. Check it out over here after I get it and see what you think. So there you go. By the way, the wiki has already been updated. Somebody did put on there, on November 11th, the bet was reopened. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Won't matter.
You're getting cocky over there, Loki. You're getting cocky. All right. I guess it's time we go to the classic game of the week. What do you say?
Sure.
And so we take a step into that portal that's marked Radio Magic, and we end up with the one and only Dark Sakura joining us for the classic game of the week. Hi, Jamie.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm okay. Well, it's kind of headachey with all the smoke outside.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we will have addressed it in the show before this point, but the smoke is terrible. And obviously, the disaster that's going on out there is really, really terrible. But, I mean, just the effect it's having on so, so, so much of the state is crazy.
Yeah, I saw the pictures online just from downtown, and that haze of brown was really frightening.
Yeah, it's like brown fog. But anyway, on a somewhat lighter note, something that we do when it's smoky outside is we stay inside and we play lots of video games on a lazy day. But once a week, Dark Sakura likes to find a game that she thinks, hey, you know what? You need to respect the classics. Put down your newfangled PlayStation VRs and pick up a classic. It's the classic game of the week. Dark Sakura, what did you pick for this week's classic game of the week?
Metal Gear. I can't do the David Hayter voice.
Well, and to be fair, David Hayter did not voice Metal Gear on the NES, which most people are probably familiar with, although not really where Metal Gear got its start, right?
Yeah, well, actually, it didn't even get its start on the NES.
Right.
Metal Gear first came out in 1987 for the MSX2 computer in Japan and Europe. It is actually considered to be the progenitor of the stealth genre. And it was the first video game designed by Hideo Kojima, who went on to do all the later ones. Well, most of the later ones. The Metal Gear 2 that we got on NES was not the real Metal Gear 2. He had nothing to do with it. The original game was reworked for the Famicom, and then that was the one that got internationally released, and it was developed without Kojima and had some drastically altered level designs and a bunch of changes. There's a more faithful port of the MSX2 version that came on Metal Gear Solid 3 from System to PlayStation 2, and the HD edition that came out for PS3, Xbox 360, and PlayStation Vita.
And I really
also had a revised translation.
I really want to play that version someday. I have never played that version. I loved Metal Gear NES as a kid. And of course, as a kid, you don't realize how butchered the game was from its MSX version. I really want to play this other remake someday.
I can lend it to you.
Sweet.
All right. The game itself, it revolves around Solid Snake, who is an operative for Foxhound, who's on a solo infiltration mission to go into the state of Outer Heaven and destroy Metal Gear, which is a bipedal walking tank. It can launch nuclear missiles anywhere, and so that's bad. So you play around the snake, and you have different modes, and one of them is the alert mode, where the enemies see where you are. So basically, if a snake is seen, and there's only a single exclamation point over the enemy, then only the enemies on the present screen will attack, and you can just avoid them by going to the other screen. But if two exclamation marks appear, then they trigger an alarm that brings in reinforcements, which you can escape from by killing all of the enemies or going outdoors or entering an elevator. So you start the mission unarmed. So you can get, you know, it's on-site procurement where you get all of the things that you need while you're going through there. You also have limited ammo, so you have to find ammo caches or, stealing from other people. You can also get a suppressor that can allow you to use the handgun and submachine gun without making a noise. Some weapons are used to clear obstacles, like having hollow walls and electrified floors. You can also punch people in the face, which is awesome. So you can also defeat a guard by punching him in the back, which is, I guess, the back-end version of the strangle that we had in the later game. And then you also get different mercenaries who will challenge you, and they're the boss characters in each level. So you also got multiple floors and multiple places around here. Really, the PlayStation remake really did a good job of bringing in that vastness that you felt in the first game. You also get a transceiver that you can use to talk to your commanding officer, Big Boss, or other members of the Resistance, such as Schneider, Diane, and Jennifer. Each of his allies gives him certain tips, and they specialize in different subjects, although you don't always get a reply when you talk to them. The MSX2 version used a tape recorder to save your game progress, or a Game Master 2 cartridge that you would save via floppy disk. Later on, they were all stored locally, like on memory cards and disk drives. So you have different... your bosses include Shoot Gunner, who is renamed Shotmaker, who is a Spetsnaz agent, Machine Gun Kid, Fire Trooper, Coward Duck, who is also called Dirty Duck in later releases, Arnold, who is also called Bloody Brad, and a couple of androids, and another mercenary from Outer Heaven who you don't find out until the end. So really, it was just a pretty amazing game. I mean, it was... Kojima was actually asked to take over the project, and it was supposed to be an action game with modern military combat, but the MSX was really limited to what it could do. So inspired by The Great Escape, he reversed it to focus to avoiding capture. And so that's where the stealth aspects came in. The packaging has Solid Snake holding a gun. And it was actually traced back to a publicity still of Michael Biehn posing as Kyle Reese for Terminator. And Kojima didn't take the picture, but if you go back and look at it, because we even, I think, got the same art here in the U.S. But it, yeah, you can, like, is that Michael Biehn? Is that from Terminator? Even I thought that as a kid, you know? So as far as different releases, we did have the MSX2 version. We had the Famicom version, which was, of course, completely altered. There was the MS-DOS and Commodore 64 version. They were based off the NES ones instead of the MSX2 one. Subsistence came out, and it was the re-release of the MSX2 one. It had an updated version, original and easy difficulty settings, name changes for characters, a boss survival mode that you get after clearing the game, a hidden bandana item that gives you infinite ammo, enemy bosses that flash red and white when they sustain damage, snake cigarettes drain his life gauge, which they did in later games. Messages are now displayed when the player attempts to pick more rations and ammunition after reaching maximum capacity, and a result screen is added at the end of the game that rates your performance. It is actually, Metal Gear was actually one of the 20th best-selling MSX games in Japan for 5 months, and it debuted at number 4 and peaked at number 3. They said the game was rapidly addicting. The NES version was also ranked number 104 in the best-made Nintendo games of their top 200. It led to sequels. There was Snake's Revenge for NES, which wasn't really in the thing. Metal Gear Solid 2 Solid Snake was developed by Kojima and released in Japan for MSX2 the same year because they really wanted more Metal Gear. And then, of course, Metal Gear Solid was the next one to come after that, which, honestly, I mean, it was a really, really great game. For different media, there were books that came out. There was the Metal Gear book that was done by Scholastic Books for World of Power. There was a game book adaptation in Japan in the second installment of the Konami game book series. And it was set 2 years after the events of the game where Solid Snake is called back into Foxtown to do more Metal Gear shenanigans. There were the remakes, there's official and an unofficial. There is a mod for Alien Swarm that was granted by Konami for, with permission, as long as they didn't make a profit, but it was canceled on June 3rd, 2014. And David Hayter was supposed to voice Solid Snake in it. And there's another fan remake that's in development using Unreal Engine 4 just called Outer Heaven. And there you go.
Wow.
Metal Gear.
Yeah, this game obviously left quite a bit of a legacy, but really, seriously, one of my all-time favorites on the NES, which is weird because I never got as into the later Metal Gear Solid series. I certainly don't have anything against it. I just didn't really, like, have the money to buy or play the earlier games, and then I kind of, like, just kind of fell behind on the series. It's one of those things I'm always like, I'll have to get back to that on a rainy day at some point. I just never have, but the original... On the NES for me, because again, I knew no better as a kid about MSX or any of that stuff, is just a true classic. I didn't even know there was a Commodore 64 version until you just mentioned it. That's crazy. I have to play that someday.
Well, and the other thing too is that, you know, there is Metal Gear Solid from Bleem.
Oh, yeah. The whole Dreamcast thing, yeah.
So, if you want, we can lend you our Bleemcast version.
That might be fun.
And the disc, if you want to play through it.
One of these days. It might make a fun live stream at some point. Well, anyway, there it is. Your classic game of the week, Metal Gear for the NES. Darsakar, we're not going to be here next week, of course, due to my trip out to Las Vegas. So that means this is the last show before the Thanksgiving holiday. So I thought I'd close out tonight by asking you, what are you thankful for, Darsakar?
Respirators.
Good old Darsakar, thank you for joining us how you can during this time that she's got a work conflict going on here. Anyway, I'm back here with Loki, and it was brought up in chat while we were listening to Jamie's segment there. It was brought up in chat that we had not discussed Pokemon Go during our gaming weeks,
yes.
Like a first. But you, I mean, okay, so I, I'm sure you did too. Pokemon Go Community Day happened, you know, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I went to a new place because of all the smoke outside. We went to the mall instead of the Capitol where you usually go. We went to a big mall out in Roseville. Mm-hmm. And actually, it worked out really well. I have
yeah,
seven
I
shinies.
Have like spotty GPS in there usually, but.
It did bounce around, and that made it very frustrating when we tried to do, because there's a Sprint store in there and it's an EX eligible gym. Alan still didn't have Giratina, the legacy raid. So one popped on that gym during Community Day, and I was bouncing all around. It was really frustrating, but we finally got it. He got his Giratina, and now we're also potentially eligible for an EX raid out there next time Deoxys passes go out. So we'll see. I mean, if they do it during the week, there's no way I can go out there, but Alan might be able to go and get his Deoxys. So we'll see. But I didn't necessarily just want to talk about Pokemon Go, because another game that you and I have spent an awful lot of time playing, Ingress, went through some big changes this week as well. We didn't even really address that at the top of the show. Probably because I don't think either one of us are huge fans of the changes, but Loki, why don't you tell us what's going on with Ingress and what you think?
So basically, they released the app called Ingress Prime, which is the new version of the Ingress client, I guess.
Which they redeveloped the whole thing in Unity, basically.
Yeah.
So they remade
it from
scratch.
So it looks fancier now, but everything's like rearranged, and I don't know if it's necessarily easier to use. I find that's not easier to use, but that's because I'm used to the old app.
Yeah, the muscle memory takes a long time to change, but people who are new to it will probably be like, oh, this is fancy, and you know, can do that. Recharging is certainly a hell of a lot easier, I'll give them that.
Yeah, so there's some things that are, there's an advantage to, but so like, I don't know, I've just been having some issues with it because like I decided to get the Redacted app as well, which the Redacted app is the old app. It's just kind of like in...
So they upgraded the old app automatically to the new version, but then Niantic also said, because we know the new version, some of you are going to have some problems getting used to it, it may be buggy and stuff like that, we're going to release this new thing called Scanner Redacted, which is the 1.0 app. But you can only use Scanner Redacted if you had an account already.
And then on top
you
of all that,
you can't create accounts
in top of all that, because people are like, the new scanner, I don't know about that. They also, in their store, that they've always had a store where you can purchase, like, you know, this fake money, and you usually buy portal frackers with it, which allows you to get double the output of when you hack a portal, or you can get, like, little beacons and stuff. It's just crap that you put above it that you can bling out your portal or whatever.
Sorry, I have to respond to this comment in chat. Over at live.vognetwork.com, Bonds006 says, sounds like old guys bitching. Isn't that like any gaming podcast?
Yes, we are old guys bitching. What's the problem? I'm not understanding this.
Well, to be fair, he didn't say it was a problem. He just said it sounds like old guys bitching. So yeah, yes, we're old guys bitching. Continue.
No, but here's
continue your bitching.
Here's the other thing, though, with it. So one, it's kind of like they've been having some issues with the new scanner because, like, for example, I just out of the whim, I just went ahead and checked out, you know, oh, hey, let's see what this looks like now. And so I pulled up the Redacted scanner and took a look at my area. I'm like, hey, there's some fields here. Okay. And I put, you know, the new scanner, and I'm like, wait a second, I don't see some of these fields. What the hell? And so I took screenshots of that, and there's, you know, definitely a discrepancy between that. Oh, and then they have, like, in their store, like I said, where you can buy the portal frackers and stuff like that, which that wasn't a big deal because it didn't really change the game too much. Oh, now you can buy gear in the store. Now, granted, they've removed some of the things you can purchase, and I don't know if they've dropped down like the levels, but like the gear that you can buy now is level 6 gear and not, you know, level 8 or level 7 or whatever it was.
Yeah, people were very mad about that, that's for sure.
So, I don't know, but it's still there, whether it's a limited amount of time or whatever, but I
would just like the game to be as snappy as the old one. Like, I don't know about you, but like when I go to make a link, it is so slow. So slow. Like, it takes forever. I love, like, when you actually make the link, and I love how it shows what it will look like. Like, there are improvements that I really like, but just like, oh my God, it's so slow. But you know the thing that they're teasing us, because, you know, I just hit max level in Ingress over the summer.
Yeah.
So you know what they're teasing us with now, right? So they put in this new, so the question was always going to be, is Ingress going to put in levels above 16? And it looks like the answer is no. What they are going to do is recursion. Recursive Ingress. So now that, you know, hooray, I spent 4.5 years to hit max level in Ingress, and Ingress is now like, bitch, you thought. Now you can recurse and go all the way back to level 1, and it's like prestiging, right? You do that? Yeah, it's basically they brought the prestige system into Ingress. So I'm going to do it, but it's just like a lot of people on my team are doing it, and I was kind of sitting there going, I don't think this is a good idea for the entire team to reset to level one at the same time. So I'm going to wait a little bit until some of you get up and level, and in case any gigantic blue fields go up over town, like, somebody can respond to it, because I didn't think it was perhaps the greatest idea for the entire team to recurse all at once. But that's exactly what happened, which kind of cracked me up.
I think they should all recurse.
Well, eventually, it probably will. So, Sia Tiberi says, Ingress New Game Plus. That's kind of what it is. It's kind of what it is, New Game Plus. So, anyway. The Ingress Prime client is just buggy to me right now. But, like, I'm excited what it'll look like in 3 months once they've been able to bug fix it, because clearly, God, this thing's been in development for a while, and clearly whatever beta they had wasn't enough to bug fix it. So it'll be – it's weird, too. They're taking all their bug feedback through Reddit. So you can go to reddit.com/r/IngressPrimeFeedback, and that's like the unofficial but official Ingress Prime feedback forum. It's weird. Anyway, all right, we'll stop bitching about a mobile phone game, and we'll get back into some rapid-fire news. Loki, what do you want to talk about for rapid-fire news tonight?
All right, well, this is kind of a cool freebie. With the whole announcement of the release date of Crackdown 3, Microsoft is giving away Crackdown free for this month. So go download it or go add it to your library, even though I already have it, you know, but you can do it anyways. So go do it if you don't already. It's a fun game. Find those orbs. And then, of course, you know, with no PlayStation event around the corner, we have to look forward to, of course, the Game Awards 2018, where they promised the largest lineup of new game announcements in the show's history, which they had a lot of announcements before, so I'm curious to see what they're going to show off this year. It's going to take place 6th of December, so we'll have to find out what's going to be there. Obviously, Kojima's going to be there.
Secrets. Well, the fact that they don't have a PlayStation experience this year kind of means I think some of those announcements will roll over to this. So I think that's probably one reason why they're having a really good year for announcements, is because there's no PlayStation experience. So,
yeah.
And then Microsoft didn't really, like, bring the house down with anything besides the studio acquisitions. They announced at XO18 was a big deal, but they didn't really do any, like, new game announcements. So even out of Microsoft's camp, they might have something in store for Game Awards, which could be interesting. So,
and the Game Awards, they said the cutoff is going to be mid-November. They said, so Smash won't be eligible. I'm like, well, yeah, Smash comes out, like, a couple days before.
Yeah, no, it sucks, but Smash is not going to be eligible. But Tetris Effect is, I'm just saying. We all know Red Dead Redemption and God of War is going to win everything anyway. But I hope Tetris Effect gets, like, is there a category for pretty?
There's music.
Music, yeah, it seems like a shoe-in for music, that's for sure. All right. Well, heading over to the Nintendo Switch and its online system. Of course, the Nintendo Switch Online, that's something they're updating monthly with new games. So November's games are on their way. They will be out on November 14th. And that is when Twinbee, Mighty Bomb Jack, and Metroid will be released. That is what Nintendo announced the specific day for that this week. Obviously, I know I'm very excited about Metroid. Mighty Bomb Jack, in my opinion, was kind of garbage, especially compared to the original Bomb Jack arcade game. Twinbee is a very interesting pick because we got that here in the U.S. as Stinger, but my understanding is we are getting Twinbee, so it's going to be like the Japanese version, basically.
Cool.
No word yet if there might be a bonus thing, because Nintendo did no announcement or ramp up for that Zelda, what the hell did they call it? The Zelda You Can Buy Everything Now, or whatever the hell it was called.
Zelda Easy Mode.
Basically, so it would be interesting maybe if Metroid gets something like that, or maybe one of the other games that's already exist gets
some
interesting
mode. They should totally, I know it's so against, their, mantra, but they should totally put Game Genie support back in those games, because that would be awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of what this is.
I know that Game Genie wasn't necessarily their thing, but, I mean, it would be nice.
Orange Ride in chat says Twinbee was never released in the U.S. I thought it was a Stinger. I thought they renamed it and put it out here. They probably
like
changed
Salamander
it
and Life Force or something.
I think. Oh, Orange Wright says Stinger was Twin B 2. Oh, my bad. I thought that's how it worked. Okay, thank you, Orange Wright. All right. Anyhow, other news out of Nintendo include a Super Smash Bros. Ultimate demo starting actually this past weekend. Was a chance for you to go check out Super Smash Bros. Ultimate at your local mall. Some locations include the Mall of Georgia in Buford, Georgia. I don't know if that's anywhere near Bobby. Del Amo Fashion Center in Torrance, California, which is nowhere near us. Westfield Valley Fair in Santa Clara, California.
I've been there once.
That's probably the closest one on the list to us, and I'm not going to go out there to stand.
I wouldn't go out there all fucking day
to play like one match. I'm not going to do it. But maybe you want to go to a place like Schaumburg, Illinois, Houston, Texas, Orlando, Florida, Bloomington, Minnesota, Elmhurst, New York, the King of Prussia Mall in Pennsylvania, Glendale, Arizona, or Tyson's Corner, Virginia, which is all these places that the event will be located at. So check that out. They say the hours run 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Friday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, and 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday. You can also check out other games, including Pokemon Let's Go, Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, Mario Kart 8, because, you know, why wouldn't you play that again? Super Mario Party, Just Dance 2019, Overcooked 2, and Labo, because... even though that's been out for a little bit, I'm sure Nintendo would love to see that show up under lots of Christmas trees.
Well, they have the new one that just came out, too.
Menorahs
vehicles
everywhere.
One.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So going in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Bobby Blackwolf talking about that mall says, that's where I used to play Drum Mania in the early 2000s. They had a Percussion Freaks 4th mix at the Vans skate park. I was the guy playing that while everyone else was playing DDR. I had all the high scores there. And look at that, and you turned that into actual drumming. I'm sure it had nothing to do with your actual drumming experience lending itself very well to Drum Mania or Percussion Freaks, as the case may be. All right, anyhow, let's move on to release dates and travel around the world and check out what is coming out this week in stores. And I imagine there might be a little bit this week ramping up towards Black Friday.
Yeah, we got a few things. So we have Hitman 2 on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. My Riding Stables Life with Horses on the Nintendo Switch. Sorry, that does
Yay.
Not count towards the
does not count towards the bet.
Project Hi-Rise Architect's Edition on the Switch. SNK 40th Anniversary Collection on the Switch. Spyro Reignited Trilogy on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Fallout 76 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Monkey King, Master of Clouds on PlayStation 4. Then, let's see, we've got Trailblazers for Nintendo Switch. Underworld Ascendant on PC, Mac, and Linux. And last but not least, Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee on the Nintendo Switch.
Yay! I'm so hyped for those games.
I'm picking it up.
It's ridiculous how hyped I am for those games.
They had a lot of trailers for that before the movie I saw this weekend.
Oh, really?
Went and saw The Grinch.
Did you? How was it?
It was good.
I keep forgetting they were doing
it. I liked it.
I went and saw Bohemian Rhapsody last week.
Yeah,
they didn't have any Nintendo trailers before.
My wife was gonna go see Bohemian Rhapsody, but then her friend got sick, and so she came with us instead because my kids wanted her to come with us. So
I see. All right. Well, then we'll travel to Japan and check out some releases coming out over there. Even though, of course, the shopping seasons are not quite the same over there. But I do believe they have some releases this week in Japan. Yes, on the PlayStation 4, Yuna and the Haunted Hot Springs Steam Dungeon.
Ooh.
That is in a regular and a limited edition, just so we're clear. So
what's in the limited edition?
Limited things. And I'm trying to see like what kind of game this is. It looks like it's kind of like
a dungeon crawler, duh. I
mean, oh yeah, actually you're exactly right. It is a dungeon crawler, so it's not just a clever name. That's exactly what it is. It looks like it might be cute. I don't know. But I doubt it'll ever come out over here. RPG Maker MV Trinity is out in Japan this week and on November 15th, as is Hitman 2's Japanese release, and Fallout 76 is getting a Japanese release as well, so you can look forward to all of that this week in Japan. That is the PlayStation 4. Checking out the Nintendo Switch real quick. Yeah, Sports Party, Legendary Fishing, Monster Hunter Double Cross is a price-reduced game this week, so it kind of gets a price reduction this week. And then and the Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee are also out in Japan this week, as well as the Monster Ball Plus accessory, as they're calling it there. Lots of little accessories and things. The GameCube controller adapter and stuff comes out this week as well, if you want to get that in Japan. And the RPG Maker MV Trinity is also out on the Nintendo Switch this week for those of you that want to design on the go. How about Europe, Loki?
All right. So in Europe, we have the Spyro Reignited Trilogy. That's on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Hitman 2 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Fallout 76 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. A game called Word Hunters on the PlayStation 4. We have Just Deal With It on PS4. Chim Party on PlayStation 4. Knowledge is Power Decades on PlayStation 4. And apparently the Battlefield 5 Deluxe Edition with early access, because you got to pay for that early access, that's on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And then, of course, we have Pokemon Let's Go, Eevee and Pikachu. That's going to be on the Switch. The Golf Club 2019 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Cabela's The Hunt Championship Edition on the Switch. And, well, quite a bit more still. The Sims 4 Get Famous on PC. We have The Witcher 3 / Dark Souls 3 bundle on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Bats Pro Shops The Strike Championship Edition. That's on the Switch. And then, of course, you know, go along with the Pokemon Let's Go. They have the console bundles and the Pokemon Pokeball Plus. A Fortnite Deep Freeze bundle on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch. And that's it.
Okay, busy week.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is that time of year, right? It's also actually a busy week in our mailbag. I'm very excited. You know, sometimes I'm sitting here going, no emails, womp womp.
It was because of the RuPaul Drag Race talk.
They did it. It did the trick. No, we got a lot of emails tonight. I'm actually thrilled. So we have a lot of stuff to talk about. We have four emails. For us, that is an avalanche. I'm excited. So let's get into it. You can always send us an email. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. First email tonight from Martin, our friendly neighborhood Belgian. And it's going to be talking about a subject that we've already discussed a little bit tonight. But let's get Martin's take on it. So hello, LR. Your friendly Belgian Martin here. Just wanted to talk to you about EA's Battlefield 5 release date shenanigans. The following is what release schedule looks like. EA Access Basic subscribers for $5 a month get to play 10-hour trial from November 9th. EA Access Premier subscribers for $15 a month get to play the full game November 9th. Pre-orders of the Deluxe Edition, $80, get to play November 15th. Regular people who just buy the game, $60, get to play November 20th. So let me get this straight. I paid $60 for the basic version of the game, and I have to wait almost 2 weeks after release to play. Even if you've pre-ordered the deluxe version of the game for $80, you still have to wait a week. Sure, they call it early access for Origin subscribers, but let's face it, the game is finished, it's out, they're just delaying release unless you pay up more money. What do you think about these kinds of practices? I find it very obnoxious, and I believe it harms the player base in the long run. Keep up the great show. Take care, Martin from Belgium. Thank you so much for the email, as always, Martin. Great to hear from you.
This has been something they've been doing for a while, though. It's not just, I mean, granted, this is a little worse than what they've been doing, but before they had the whole EA Access thing with the consoles, mm-hmm. where they would allow you to play the game like a few days earlier before release.
Well, this, and Martin, here's my opinion straight up. This system killed Mass Effect Andromeda. So why EA is still doing it is beyond me. And I say it killed Mass Effect Andromeda because when they put it out on early access, that's when suddenly it was like, oh my God, look at all these graphical bugs. When in reality, the graphical bugs were like honestly, it was probably better than most Bethesda games, but Bethesda doesn't do this. Okay. The problem
true,
is
yes.
they take those micro clips, those seconds, those things, and they're all over social media, and it's look at what a garbage game Mass Effect Andromeda is. And it ruined it. And it was because of this fuckery. So why EA is continuing to do it, it kind of blows my fucking mind. But I guess Battlefield is a very different type of game. And as I kind of referenced earlier in the show, if they have 100% confidence that Twitter isn't going to be filled with all these, you know, hot takes on fuck-ups in the game, then I guess they can get away with it. But at the end of the day, money talks.
Well, and also, if this...
So if you pay for it, they're going to do it again.
It's only really an option. The Origin thing is only an option if you're on PC anyway. So if you don't have a PC that can run these games, then you're kind of out of luck unless you do just the EA... I don't even know if they're still doing their like Game Pass type thing.
Does this open it up to piracy? That's the other kind of thing. I'm surprised these games don't get ripped apart. But I mean, I assume there must be some component of the cloud, the online service, where that's not so easily possible.
I wouldn't probably say that.
I mean, yeah, I know. Hacker's going to hack, right? But I'm kind of surprised with the PC version it doesn't open itself up to piracy. There must be enough of it that relies on the online piece that you can't, like, yank it off the EA Access servers or whatever.
I wouldn't say that because it's already on the torrent sites. So, yeah.
So, I would question EA's... I mean, not, I would never advocate for piracy. I'm not saying to pirate it, but I'm just surprised... that when that becomes a factor, that EA still kind of lets this happen. So
maybe they haven't cracked it yet, but they've got it out there.
But let's be real, guys. This could be a place the industry is headed. It's not unique to EA. Microsoft just did it with Forza, did they not? It's happened before. So, I mean, if you don't like it, don't buy it. I implore you, don't, no matter what the game is, no matter what it is. Anyhow, let's go on to another email from Elliot B., who we haven't heard from in a while. It's very good to hear from you, Elliot. Hey, OLR, I can't decide whether to get excited about Pokemon Go or not. I've bought almost every generation of Pokemon. I think he means Pokemon Let's Go, because that's where the rest of this email goes. I've bought almost every generation of Pokemon, all the way back to Blue, and sunk over 100 hours into Sapphire, but every game since, I get bored of the same old mechanics halfway through. I'm hoping that the Pokemon Let's Go games add some fresh ideas that don't just feel like throwaway novelties. What do you guys think? Will you pick it up? I'm especially interested to hear Rob's opinion as a dedicated Pokemon Go player. Elliot B. Thank you, and here's my opinion. I am really psyched about it. I'm jazzed about it to play it because it, in my opinion, like the grind for like hunting in the grass for a particular Pokemon and doing the random encounter battles over and over and over again starts to feel really grindy, and that's where the Pokemon games start to lose me. I understand some people are really into that, and that's cool, but I do have that part of my brain that's like, no, you have to catch them all before you move on, even as much as like Shane and other Pokemon fans that I know tell me, like, Rob, don't do that to yourself because you just ruin the game for yourself, and I always inevitably ruin it for myself. So my point is, the fact that they've replaced kind of that grinding with a ball tossing, you know, kind of like different style that they've taken out of Pokemon Go, the mobile game, yeah, that does seem really appealing to me because they've taken out a lot of the grinding.
Well, and this will be my first traditional Pokemon game because I don't play Pokemon. So.
Technically, I mean, if we want to get technical, it is not part of the mainline series. It is a side game.
It's like a remake of the first.
Right. You know if this sells well, we'll have Pokemon Let's Go, you know,
whatever the next gen,
Espeon and Umbreon, or you know, stuff from the second generation, you know. So that'll be inevitable.
Let's go, Magikarp.
I'm sure a lot of people would be into that. So, SSJ 100 Matt in chat says, meanwhile, Shane is buying both versions, I'm sure. Oh, I'm sure too. He has a man now, so I'm pretty sure he's buying one for him and one for his man, and they can trade with each other. So
probably buying the two consoles too, you know.
At least one of them, I'm sure. I don't know. I'll text him in a little bit if y'all really want to know an update. But you can safely assume he's buying more than one copy. I am only buying one copy. I got Let's Go Pikachu because when I was kind of doing an informal assessment of my Twitter feed, it seemed like everybody was going Eevee.
So I don't know what the difference is aside from your starting Pokemon. Is there really a big difference?
Well, if it's like Red and Blue, there will be Pokemon that you can't catch in one that you can in the other. Like, I don't remember what Pokemon didn't cross over. I want to say like Ekans and Arbok were exclusive to one, and then like Paris might have been in the other. I don't remember. But there's certain Pokemon that don't show up if it's like Red and Blue. Which is my assumption.
But can I just take those from Pokemon Go and just transfer them into the game or something like that?
Well, you trade them. You trade them with friends. That was the whole thing. When you had a friend with Pokemon Blue who did get those Pokemon, and then you could trade them into your game because either game had all the Pokemon in it. Just like now that they're up to like Gen 7, and probably why these games take a while to work on is that with the Pokemon Bank, you can get Pokemon all the way back from the earliest gens and import them into the newest Pokemon Sun and Moon. And I'm sure the Pokemon Bank will be supported by the Switch Pokemon, which will be Gen 8, which will be the next mainline Pokemon game, which assumably is next holiday. And this game is supposed to be like the holdover. This is the tide you over title, which is fine. I think it's a very interesting direction. I'm really hoping it's going to be good. Some folks in chat reminding me. Sia Tabiri says Bellsprout was exclusive to Blue. Sia Tabiri says I think Meowth was exclusive to Blue. Some other comments in chat. SG100 Matt suggests Let's Go Bidoof. I'd fucking play that. Are you kidding? I love Bidoof. So I got more excited on Community Day when those bunnieries showed up. The little bunnies. The bunnies.
When did they show up?
They just at the mall. They were just randomly caught like three of them on just random Pokestops, and I was more excited about that.
Yeah,
I finally evolved.
Yeah, I finally evolved one of those. And I got a shiny, whatever that thing was, but, like, I don't know. I didn't really need it. I didn't get my enlightened Pokemon, though. Like, I got the stupid Ponyta that was a shiny, but I didn't get a shiny Cubone. And I was very disappointed, because now I have a horse named Smurf.
I didn't get either one, sadly, but you get the shirts. I did. If you look in the
I did that. You
do the shirts. That's cool. So yeah, Ponyta shiny. I hate that's a resistance thing, because I'm like, the Ponyta shiny is like way more awesome than the Cubone.
When you evolve it too, like it dulls out even. I'm like, I like the color better when it's a Ponyta, not the.
It still looks cool though. I still like it. All right. Anyway, thank you, Elliot. Great email. Appreciate hearing from you. Hope you're well. Next email from Dark Tetsuya. We love hearing from Dark Tetsuya. And Dark Tetsuya has given us a game review tonight. So let's get to it. Hey, OLR. So a funny thing happened this week. Destructoid was giving away copies of a new download title for Nintendo Switch. It's also on Steam. Heavy Burger. As luck would have it, I was one of the winners, so I got to try this game out. So this game is from Flying Tiger and G-Mode, who you might remember them from the Data East arcade line by Johnny Turbo, who, as an aside, was based on a real person, if you've ever read those weird comments they had for the TurboGrafx-16 CD that appeared in game magazines back in the day, and came out on Switch and PC a couple weeks ago. The game itself is an interesting concept. They've taken some of the old graphics and sound assets from the classic arcade games and turned it into a team-based competition twin-stick shooter, almost like Smash TV. You and a friend playing as Burger Time star Peter Pepper compete in a two-on-two game to take on the bag of money and run it into your opponent's goal. But you'll have to traverse several screens inspired by some of the Data East arcade classics like Heavy Barrel, Bad Dudes, and Karate Champ, each with its own themed stage hazards like enemies and billiard balls. Although I have to say the single-player challenges get insanely hard at times, this is definitely more of a party game to get all your friends together and try to get to the goal before the other team does. So I'd really only recommend this one if you have friends over or take your system to parties or something. This is definitely more a multiplayer experience, especially considering it's $20 on Switch. Well, thank you for the game review. This was not a game on my radar, but you know I'm a sucker for retro games, and I love it when they take like retro stuff and make new things out of it. Like NES Remix, right?
Yeah, I wish they were doing another one of those.
Yeah, it sounds like that's kind of what they're doing here, is kind of like a hodgepodge of the Data East games. So that's cool. Yeah, fun. All right. One more email for us tonight from Frodo Swaggins, who says, Frodo Swaggins here. I haven't owned a ton of gaming consoles, but when I think back at the ones I have purchased or experienced, when I think of a specific console, I always have a few favorite games that come straight to mind, like my personal classics. So I was wondering, what are all of your favorite games when you name off your consoles? Mine are, for Nintendo 64, Cruisin' USA, GoldenEye, Pokemon Snap, Ken Griffey Baseball, Mario 64, PlayStation, Jet Moto, Kirby, Tomb Raider, Space Jam, Crash Bandicoot, PC, Roller Coaster Tycoon, Carmageddon, Doom, Xbox, 007 Nightfire, NASCAR 99, Unreal Championship, Test Drive, Fusion Frenzy, Outlaw Golf. So, like, the games that you, not necessarily the best games on the system, not necessarily the critical darlings, but what are the games that you are always going to associate with a particular system? Loki, you want to dive into that like Frodo Swaggin said? Thanks for the email, by the way.
I don't know. Like, that's a lot. But, like, I could, like, with PC games, I wouldn't even think about it like that. I think about it as the different PCs I've owned, because
yeah,
it's going to be different. The PC's, like, way too big. Like, I'd say, like, one of my first PCs, it would have to be, like, Wolfenstein 3D. like, what the hell did I play on there? Like,
I remember this original X-Men game that I really liked on my old PC. The Sierra games. I think that was later, though, because we had CD-ROM.
No, I had, what was it, The Secret of Monkey Island.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, what was something else? Click and Play. No, I didn't have Click and Play on that PC. It was, Space Quest 4 was another one they had on there. And then, of course, you know, more modern, the PC after that, like the next one we got was probably like ZZT and...
Fuck yeah, ZZT.
Yeah, so ZZT, Click and Play, Scorched Earth, Red Alert would have been something I played a lot of on there.
Okay, I'll take on some of the consoles. So like for the NES, the Guardian Legend, I'm always going to associate. The Legend of Zelda, the original... for sure. What else was my Mario Brothers 3, Mario Brothers 2. So I stayed up all night playing both those games. I remember renting Mario Brothers 2 on New Year's Eve because the place would be closed New Year's Day, so you got an extra day for free. So I remember getting in there and getting that Mario Brothers 2 copy that day. And I actually have a lot of memories playing Star Tropics as well, although if I tried to sit down and play that game again today, I wouldn't remember my way through it because I tried on the NES Classic and Metroid. Because with the Super Nintendo, obviously, you know I'm going to say Super Metroid. But I'd also say, honestly, like some deeper cuts, Equinox was always a favorite game of mine on that system. Draken, just because that was a game I got as a launch title, when my parents bought me the Super Nintendo, they bought that game because the guy at Montgomery Ward recommended it to them. That is a true story. And then, I would also say, with Super Nintendo, it's on the tip of my tongue and I forgot. Final Fantasy III, which we all know is really six, but... You know, it was 3 when it came out. PlayStation was during my college years, so I missed out on a lot of it. But for sure, Final Fantasy VII, because I played the shit out of that when it was released. Super Puzzle Fighter 2. I played a lot of that game. And other puzzlers, too, like Intelligent Cube. Played a bit of that. Those are some games I would always associate with PlayStation. And, I think I've said enough.
Well, when it comes to the original PlayStation, I've got to, you know, talk about DDR because...
Yeah, know, oh, for sure.
We had the mod chip, well, mod cart, I guess, and used to play all that stuff in there. Gosh, I don't know.
The Jungle Book dancing game, because that was the gateway drug into DDR, getting a mat in the U.S., remember? No, I didn't say they were good. It's just games you associate. All right. Thank you for the email, Frodo Swaggins. It's always fun to take a walk down memory lane. Looking at chat at live.vognetwork.com, Sia Tabiri says, for the NES, Mario 2, Mario 3, Dragon Spirit, Little Nemo, Dream Master. Dr. Tsuya says, for the PlayStation, Parappa the Rappa. That's a good one. Akuma JP says, Einhander on my PlayStation.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah, good answers, you guys. All right, and to follow up on the previous email, the question was asked, how many copies of Pokemon Let's Go did Shane get? So I texted him.
Yes.
And he texted me back. Here you go. So far, one copy of both Eevee and Pikachu Pokeball Plus bundles. So 2. And the Pikachu System bundle. So 3. So far. Oh, and his boyfriend technically is getting the Eevee Pokeball Plus bundle from me. So 4. We just pre-ordered 4 of the Pokeball chargers too. So there you go.
If he needs to offload some copies of the game, I'll take one of them because I haven't purchased one yet. And I mean, just saying, you don't need multiple copies of the same game.
You know what? Like, y'all want to give me shit for buying Mass Effect 3 multiple, or my fourth copy of Diablo 3 on Switch. But...
I'm just saying, I'll take a copy of his Pikachu one, but I'm just going to go buy one. So, I mean, might as well.
It sounds like SSJ100 Matt won the bet in chat. I told you 4. Dark Ditchia says, yeah, you called it. And Akuma JP says, damn, hardcore. But, I mean, this is not, like, Shane loves Pokemon. He trades himself.
You know what?
That's what he does.
Whatever. You like something.
Exactly.
I'm not going to.
You spend your money however the hell you want.
I like DDR. I bought a goddamn machine. You know what? So I have no room to talk.
Hey, man, you have no room to talk. That's fine.
Exactly.
All right. But there's the answer to the question. All right, let's move on. We have some more stories for you guys. Then we're going to get to your calls at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. But first, some news. Loki.
So you may remember there's some games that Japan's been getting that run on the Switch that may not necessarily run on the Switch over here because, well, they're streaming games. And so Capcom was one of those to kind of experiment with that with Resident Evil 7, the Switch version. Of course, you may remember Ubisoft did the same thing with the new Assassin's Creed game. But apparently they've had some actual success with the Switch version of Resident Evil 7 to the point where they're actually considering on furthering or to do some more of that. So they're saying that, you know, after the success of the Resident Evil 7, you know, that there was, they did the fact that there was a significant impact, you know, with the interest in that, that they're going to probably try some other games. And while we did release this, a certain title supporting cloud gaming in the first half, this was done primarily for technology or technological research purposes and did not have a significant impact on earnings. Based on the results of the research, we internally considered future expansion to cloud gaming. So apparently that might be something we'll see a little bit more on the Switch, and maybe even something that we'll see leave just Japan and not, you know, and venture into other regions as well. So I'm curious to see where this kind of goes.
Yeah, I'm wondering why Capcom won't try this here. I mean, you know, I guess maybe the whole internet infrastructure or whatever, but there's enough people that, you know, have the internet strong enough to use this. It's weird that they don't try more of it, but whatever.
Maybe it's just the cost of, like, putting the servers into, like, for a certain game. Maybe they don't feel they're going to get a return on their investment that's worthwhile. I don't know. They don't really have any, like, huge upcoming games, I think, that would really benefit from something like this. Because right now, the stuff that they've released over here recently, it's been, like, fighting games and stuff like that. That probably wouldn't be something you'd want to stream.
Bonds 006 in chat sums this up, saying, in other words, they made money, so they will keep trying to make more money. Best wishes, Capcom. Akuma JP says they are still testing the water. So, I mean,
yeah.
Honestly, guys, I mean, this is also relevant because I could see a lot more games going down this path if you are able to successfully play games on the cloud and have the minimal, you know, delay between. I mean, you would never be able to play a music game in the cloud, at least not with today's technology, but who knows 10 years from now. But I really feel like when we get to the PlayStation 5 and the next box, we're going to see a lot more of, like, shit that happens in the cloud. Like, you were talking about what's supposed to happen with Crackdown 3, but for whatever reason they dialed that back, it sounds like. But I really do think that's going to be a major part of the next round of consoles.
Yeah.
And how we're going to get even more mind-blowing graphics that take forever to develop, I'm sure. So, anyhow, moving on. If you and then there's Nintendo Switch. Talk about technological pushing the envelope. But then again, this you know what? This is how the Nintendo Switch hangs in there. After all, this whole story was just about, you know, putting some of these more technologically demanding games on the Switch. But the Switch finally got something that people were wondering, when is this going to happen? So if you were waiting for YouTube on the Nintendo Switch, guess what? It finally freaking happened this week.
They used all that YouTube money that they siphoned from people playing, you know, putting Nintendo games on YouTube.
Right. So anyway, YouTube is available around the world. It's on the UK store, North America store. I don't know about Japan, but I don't see why it wouldn't be. And, of course, it's YouTube, and it's pretty much the same interface and everything you're used to on other platforms. But now you can take it essentially on the go as long as there's internet. Obviously, it's still going to work. You can't, like, download videos to watch later. That would be it. Well, I mean, YouTube Red kind of lets you do that, right? But I don't think it does it on the Switch. I don't know. Who do I know that has YouTube Red?
I'll store so many videos on my 32 gigabytes of internal storage.
So anyway, the YouTube app is now out. By the way,
and besides, you know, it's fine if you can't, you know, necessarily download videos to the Switch because what? You don't have a cell phone or something?
Don't y'all have phones?
Don't y'all have phones?
Anyway, that's what Nintendo's saying about voice chat. Don't y'all have phones? But Nintendo is also, on a kind of a related note, looking to continue to add features to Switch Online. During a recent investor Q&A, Shintaro Furukawa said, "We think Nintendo Switch Online had a good launch, but the service has only just begun. So we have no plans to disclose any current subscriber ratios or number of subscribers at this time." That's kind of interesting.
Well, that sounds like it's not very high then.
I don't necessarily know if I would read into that. It may be.
Well, yes, it would be because if it was
okay,
high,
let me finish.
Would be...
It may be lower than expectations, but I don't think that necessarily means it's a flop.
Well, I don't think it's a flop, but like, I can tell you right now, I'm not like, woo, Nintendo games.
Anyway, continuing in the statement, Shintaro Furukawa said, as for the kind of service this will develop into in the future, Nintendo Switch Online is essentially a digital service, but we are also offering controllers specifically for use with Nintendo Entertainment System, Nintendo Switch Online, exclusively to subscribers of the service. We see the need to develop the service beyond being merely digital in ways to play our strengths as a company that operates an integrated hardware and software business. So I'm really surprised that some of these new amiibo weren't tied to this, but so far they're not. It would be a hell of a way to get the amiibo. Do you know, so I found out that Dark Souls came out on Nintendo Switch, right?
Yeah.
Now, Alan loves Dark Souls. Like, he plays a lot. He just got the fucking achievement for getting all the other achievements in Dark Souls. That is not something you do overnight, right? So he plays a lot of Dark Souls. And I was like, do you want me to buy Dark Souls for you on Switch? And kind of knowing he probably would never play it. He was like, nah, I don't really want it on Switch because he's not going to play it compared to keyboard and mouse. He's like, but I'd really like to get that Solari amiibo. I was like, okay, all right, sure. Cute little collectible. Couldn't find it anywhere. Come to find out that whole thing was a GameStop exclusive. I forgot that Solari amiibo was a GameStop exclusive. He goes into a GameStop to try to find it while we were at the mall anyway hunting Pokemon this weekend. And they tell him, the guy, the clerk who works there, said he had never even seen one in person because I guess they sold out instantly when the pre-orders went up in March. And he actually told Alan, the best way to get those right now would be on the reseller market. And I'm like, fuck resellers.
Oh my God. Period. Does Nintendo not understand supply chain? Oh yes, Nintendo doesn't understand supply chain. Quotey fingers. I mean, because I am so sick of this, like, oh my God, we're just getting into the physical, you know, collectible market. We don't know what the fuck we're doing. Ah, you know, I'm sorry. Like, how often are we going to use this as an excuse? Well, we had no idea what the demand would be. Do you really have no analysts that fucking do projections for you that you couldn't figure this shit out? I mean, I'm sorry. That's just really a terrible excuse, like, this many years into it where it's like this all the fucking time.
Anyway, if anyone out there has a lead on how I could get one of these not through a reseller market because I'm not paying markup, I would super deeply appreciate it. But I'm not going to expect anything. But you can always hit me up on Twitter at Mr. Rob Roberts. But it would make my hubby very happy if we could locate one because now it's a thing. All right. Let's move on. A few more stories before we get to the Skype line. Loki.
All right. So apparently there is this leak that's come out where Valve is developing a new VR headset. So they've got images of like this prototype Valve headset, and there's a Valve like watermark on this, looks like, circuit board here. And they're saying that apparently from the sources that we're talking about, is that it's like going to have a 135 degree view with a Vive Pro resolution, and that's going to be combined with, or possibly combined with, these Knuckles controllers that they have, and they're saying as well as a Half-Life based VR game. That's going to be a prequel rather than a sequel, possibly. But there are, like, apparently screenshots here of this, and they're saying that something that looks like they have a spot almost where a leap sensor could fit. Interesting, though. No word on any sort of details on when something like this would be released, but it is something that they're working on. So I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Hmm. You don't have HTC Vive, right?
I don't, no.
Would you consider picking this up or HTC Vive or any of that?
If it was affordable, and really that's it, if it's affordable, because like right now that's what's stopping me from purchasing yet another VR headset. I just don't play enough VR stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I do want one for PC because there's a lot more out there on the PC side, but I don't know. I'm still fine with just the PlayStation VR for now.
All right. Well, in other news related to our little quip about don't you all have phones, which I feel like that line's going to get said once a week on this show for a very long time. But some interesting follow-up rumors, heavy, heavy rumors about what was to be at BlizzCon. Of course, that story showed up that said that Diablo 4 was a planned announcement and it was yanked at the last minute. That was a rumor that Kotaku posted, but then they ended up updating it. To basically say, the article had originally stated that Blizzard recorded a video and that co-founder Alan Adam was going to talk about a new Diablo game. Kotaku is still sticking by that that video was made, but Blizzard is officially disputing that it was ever planned for BlizzCon. In a statement to Kotaku, Blizzard said, "First off, we want to mention that we definitely hear our community. We generally don't comment on rumors or speculation, but we can say that we didn't pull any announcements from BlizzCon this year or have plans for other announcements. We do continue to have different teams working on multiple unannounced Diablo projects, and we look forward to announcing when the time is right." But Kotaku's doubling down, basically saying two people familiar with Blizzard's plans confirmed that the company recorded a video where co-founder Alan Adams said spoke to fans about a new Diablo project. So basically what's being disputed is, what is it for? Perhaps it's a announcement for the Game Awards, which would seem ridiculous to me to not play that at BlizzCon. Well, if it turns out that they're going to announce it at the Game Awards and they passed BlizzCon to do that, that's the Blizzard fans are not going to be happy.
Well, and on top of that too, I did see something that was like a press event or something like shortly after all the announcements, and they're talking about like that their development teams that are working on Diablo, that a lot of them are even like some of their top developers from all the different franchises that they have are working on mobile projects. So that pissed people off as well, because they're like, well, wait a second, you're taking your top people from all these other things to develop mobile games? What the fuck, you guys? So that just kind of, you know, a little bit more salt in the wounds, I guess.
Well, what do you think? Do you think it's possible that they were going to announce it and then they pulled it? But I'm like, why would you pull that? I guess there's concern about, it's the game's been going in these different directions, and it's kind of, you know, it's hitting that phase that a lot of games do where they're not totally sure like what the final product's going to look like. But I'm like, you could still just announce you're doing it. Like, it's everything I said in last week's show. If they had just followed up that announcement, just like Bethesda did, with a 30-second trailer that shows the Diablo 4 logo, it doesn't even have to be the final logo, just one that they could then sell on T-shirts and people would buy it.
It's too late, though.
It's too late now. But, I mean, I feel like video game PR people are going to study this fuck up for years.
They'll remember it.
For sure. Anyway, moving on. A couple more stories before the Skype line. Just two more, Loki.
All right. And so, apparently, there's... You guys remember Smash Brothers, so... With Mr. Game & Watch, they had some different attacks that were in there, one of which, unfortunately, is mildly racist, apparently. So it's the attack where he kind of looks like a Native American or whatever, and he throws fire. So apparently this fire attack, which is from, well, the game Fire Attack, might be a little bit offensive nowadays. So they're going to be retooling that and changing it, because it doesn't necessarily represent the company's values nowadays. So they're going to have to, I guess, redesign how that's going to look, and it will be in effect, I guess, in the new Smash Brothers game. So they're saying that, yeah, Nintendo has been planning to distribute an update for Smash Brothers Ultimate that removes the feature or the feather from the silhouette of Mr. Game & Watch. The original game, on which is the depiction of the character's base, was released more than three decades ago and doesn't represent our company's values today. We apologize if you were offended.
All right. Well, I suppose that's nice of a company to listen to the feedback and correct their course.
Yeah, that's just a minor thing.
All right. Before we go to the phones, I do want to point out another heavy rumor, but I think this is more than rumor, because it was discovered in a Steam database that Sunset Overdrive is on its way to the PC. This after an ESRB listing was already released. Now, I bet this is the type of thing that could show up at Game Awards, because if they didn't announce it at X018, which would have been the perfect place to do it. Well, I guess not for PC. I would think that Game Awards is like a shoe-in. They're going to come out in Game Awards and say, this is Sunset Overdrive's available today PC. I would bet that's going to be what happens. We'll see. But anyway, a lot of people that did play this game really enjoy it. It kind of went under the radar for a lot of people, I think just because the Xbox One didn't end up as highly adopted.
I'm surprised it would be coming to Steam and not like the Windows Store.
I guess Microsoft probably just wants to put it everywhere.
But maybe, their other game that was, I can't remember what the hell that game was called, but like the other Xbox One game that was a Kinect game, but not a Kinect game anymore. God, I can't remember what the fuck it was called, but Crytek developed it, but I don't know. I think that one.
Well, but then Forza is not available on Steam.
Well, then the other one too, also, Dead Rising. Didn't Dead Rising end up coming out?
I believe it did. You're right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, looks like Sunset Overdrive is going to be happening. It's just a matter of when. And honestly, Microsoft is releasing most things on PC and Xbox anyway. Crackdown 3 has got to be a PC game as well, right?
Yeah, it's going to be on the Windows Store.
I honestly might just pick it up on PC. Well, I guess I might as well get the one that's universal, right? You buy it digitally, you get the universal thing, right? I imagine that's still going to be the case, just like it was for Forza.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'll probably pick that up. That's pretty cool. So... cool. Sunset Overdrive, probably on its way to PC. I wonder how that's going to work, though, if I already own it on Xbox One, thanks to Games with Gold. I would already own it digitally. So are they going to give me the PC one for free?
They might if they make it a Play Anywhere type thing. Or...
that would actually be, I would be like so happy. I mean, I guess Steam wouldn't really be involved in that case, but still, hey, free game. So, all right. Let's go to the phones. You can give us a call right now at Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, is the place to send us a call. I also want to make sure I get a plug in for our Discord server at some point tonight. So if you're not on our Discord server, I'd really urge you to get on there. You can keep up with Orange Lounge Radio throughout the week. Submit potential stories, which some of these stories tonight came from you guys over on Discord. Just go to vognetwork.com/Discord, and that will get you everything you need. You do not need an invite. It's an open invite. We just ask you, you know, don't be a dickhead on Discord. And so far, that's worked out pretty good. All the people that have joined the Discord so far have been pretty reasonable and not been assholes. So it's a fun environment over there. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. I saw a call pop up and I just missed it. So hopefully that person calls back. In the meantime, though, I can check in with Loki to see if there's any last minute stories quickly.
Oh, yes, of course.
Hold that thought. That call just popped right back up. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, everyone?
Hey, Rama, good to hear from you. What's up, buddy?
Not much. It's good to hear from you, too.
It is great to hear from you. I'm here every week. You're here almost every week.
Well, I try, so, you know, coming down to the end of the con season and so forth, you know.
Well, we appreciate it. So what's on your mind tonight, buddy?
Sunset Overdrive is one, again, that's one of those games, how did I miss it? I picked it up for $10, and I'm having a fucking blast with that game.
I think there's a lot of people that really slept on the game, and to be honest, I haven't played it a lot, and it's one of those titles I really need to go back and play more. But especially if it does end up being Play Anywhere on PC, I think I probably, yeah, I'd like super check it out. Why not? I mean, they gave that game away, so I think a lot of people have it.
Yeah, definitely. And another thing, I quit like the tail end of XO18, like the summary, and I have to say Microsoft's kind of got me shook.
Why is that? What shook you at XO18? The studio purchases or what?
No. Final Fantasy backwards compatibility.
I'm excited for people that owned it on Xbox, but I had them on PlayStation, so unfortunately it does me no good, and I don't see myself buying those games on Xbox One when I already did buy Final Fantasy 13 on PC. And you might remember it was a little bit bumpy when it first came out on PC. It had like some graphic things holding it back. But they tweaked it and they released, you know, they like updated it via patch, and it's pretty solid. Like the PC release is pretty good. So I feel like if they up-resed or did anything special to Final Fantasy, they probably just kind of ported the PC version to Xbox One, which is not a bad thing. It's great. It looked great on PC.
I don't know. I think they would and worked on the 360 version and made it a little bit better. Hmm. I mean, yes, I have all three games for PlayStation 3, but I think about almost a year ago, I had my system reflowed, and now when I turn on my PS3, it sounds like a jet engine, and I'm looking at the prices of FF13 on 360, and it's like I could pick up all three games for $25, which is like probably cheaper than what it's going to be, you know, in the Microsoft store, you know, for Xbox One.
That's not bad. Yeah, I do think there was a missed opportunity here to like repackage and release a trilogy, but you say you got that on the secondhand market for $25?
Yeah, on Amazon.
That's really not a bad idea. That may be a way to do it. Like, to pick up the games on the secondhand market and then play them that way is actually, like, a really smart idea. Kudos on that.
That's what I've been doing with a lot of the games. And I noticed, you know, yes, GameStop may have it for $19 used, but I can just go right over to Amazon, pick it up for the same price, brand spanking new in the case.
Yeah.
Sealed everything. So,
yeah.
And now that you got the other Final Fantasy games coming over, and I'm just kind of hyped about it. And, you know, I get it that the Final Fantasy games are supposed to be, are like, defunct the PlayStation. I get that.
Right.
But it's like I said, the only reason why I picked up an Xbox One is for the backwards compatibility, and half of my 360 games play on one. Hell, when I found out about Crackdown, I popped that in last night, and I'm up for like 2 hours playing through that game. I'm just like, this looks amazing.
Well, and now even if you didn't have Crackdown, we just mentioned earlier, they're giving it away. So you can get Crackdown. So there's no reason not to check it out, which of course is all just promo for Crackdown 3, which is very similar to, and again, a reminder, this is kind of your last chance because it's only going to be up for about another week. But Destiny 2 is free on PC if you have the Battle.net launcher, which if you've ever played Hearthstone or some of the free games that Blizzard has, then you have the Battle.net launcher. You can get free Destiny 2, but we all know it's because they have an expansion they're trying to sell, so that's the thing you're going to have to buy. But hey, it's still a free game.
I mean, yeah, I jumped on that too, so.
Yeah. So, well, free stuff is good, and backwards compatibility is great, and I really wish it was a message that Sony would hear, but for whatever reason, they're not.
I mean, look, we had backwards compatibility for the PlayStation 2 to the 1. Mm-hmm. We had a PS3 for 1 and 2 until they ripped that out and put in the Slim. Now, they can't say it cannot be done because the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 are the same identical hardware.
Yep.
The speeds of the processors are slightly different. The software that runs it is different, but it can be done. I mean, if Microsoft can do it, it's no excuse Sony can't. Microsoft's like, oh, we got this, it's backwards compatible. We have it in the store for $19.99. Wait, you have the game? Pop it in. Yours now for free.
We already know, if nothing else, that machine is perfectly capable of doing PS1 and PS2 games, if nothing else. We know the PlayStation 4 can do that. So it's just weird to me that they don't open it up. So, and I see in chat, Kaijudo says, I don't ever want Sony to go back. Well, I'm not, like, I honestly feel at this point it's like a switch. It's a button that Sony won't push. You know, and if you don't want to play retro stuff, fine, don't. Again, it's your money. Spend it on what you want. But for those of us that would love to play Magic Pendjel again on PlayStation 4, let us do it.
Yeah, I mean, I understand there are some people out there that are console collectors. They have the space for it. If you saw my entertainment center, I'm running out of space. I'm picking up the PS4 on Black Friday, and I'm looking, well, damn, I'm going to take the PS2 out and put the PS4 there. I would be happy, like you said, I'd be happy with PS1-2 emulation on the PS4.
Yeah.
I could retire my PS3 fat. That sounds like a NASA jet rocket, and put a Slim in there and call it a day.
Yep. Well, we'll see if this gamble pays off for Sony by the time the PlayStation 5 rolls around, because I bet you it's so interesting because I remember when it was PlayStation 3 versus Xbox 360 and Microsoft clobbered Sony out the gate anyway, and Sony spent a long time catching up, and then the tables got reversed this last time and Sony clobbered Microsoft out the gate. You know, Microsoft's catching up to an extent, but you know, Sony's got the lead. I'm almost wondering if we're going to just, now it's going to flip again and coming out with the next series because Microsoft's got all these studios and will likely open itself up to backwards compatibility, and pretty much has already said that no matter what they do with the Xbox in the future, it's still going to play the older games or whatever. It would be interesting to see if Sony's going to follow suit or if they're going to stay stubborn like this, and if that decision comes back to bite them.
You know, you said it best a few episodes back. As long as Sony's on top, they're not going to care. When Microsoft was on top, they're not going to care. And then the role was reversed. I mean,
so why hasn't either company learned yet that maybe you should care when you're on top? Because you're not going to be on top forever.
Well, I think Microsoft is starting to learn. Like, when they like when they had their Windows phones, their Windows phones are great on a business level, but not on a personal. The hardware is there, the software is there, the apps are not. The fact that Square Enix says the Final Fantasy games are coming to Xbox One, that means Microsoft is starting to realize you need to not just throw money to buy studios, you need to throw money at the third parties and be like, here's X amount of money. We want these titles on our system. I mean, that's basically what Sony is doing. I mean, look at the gaming tournaments for fighting games. Mostly everyone's playing on PS4 for the fighting games, you know?
Next year's going to be a hell of a year because I anticipate Microsoft's going to be first out the gate next year. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
Yep.
All right, my friend, I'm going to let you go to try squeezing some more calls, but thank you as always for the call.
Hey, no problem, dude.
Take care, buddy.
You too.
Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. And I had cut off a last-minute story you wanted to do, Loki, while we wait for calls.
Yes, there's this game called Scum, which apparently had a patch issued for it that fixed a bunch of bugs in the games, all related to penis size. Because I like this game, like Conan, or Age of Conan, I believe, you create your character and the penis size. And there was an issue where the penis size would get bigger each time you logged in. And there is also one that says it's possible to increase penis size without it affecting other attributes, and urinating would lock hands if the penis and penis if interrupted. Penises are very complicated things, apparently, in video games.
Alrighty then. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, this isn't a Soul Calibur 6 situation, is it? Also, wow. Speaking of Soul Calibur 6, oh no, I think we did touch on it last week, the Nier character coming to Soul Calibur 6. I guess that was in Rapid Fire last week, I think.
I think we mentioned it,
I need to still pick up Soul Calibur 6. I still have not picked that up, and I really want to play it, but this is that time of year where everything's coming out. And now we got Let's Go and all this other stuff. One more call for calls, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. So, and by the way, I just want you guys to know that I'm extremely happy because it sounds like somebody's coming through on the Amiibo that I need. So
nice.
I'm like super jazzed about that. You don't even know. So you guys are awesome. This is what motivates me to keep coming back every week to do this show for serious. How awesome you guys are. Did you do no other stories?
No, I did see someone talking about since, you know, obviously we have a very good version of Tetris on the PlayStation 4.
Yep.
That there was a not so good version of Tetris Ubisoft made about a year ago on the PlayStation 4.
I think I actually own that one too.
I think you do own that one.
I don't remember what the I feel like it had frame rate issues or something like really basic that shouldn't have been there. So it's always interesting to see like who gets the Tetris license and what they do with it, because I feel like the Tetris company really licenses that out to like multiple people at once. Like, mm-hmm. pretty much whoever wants to do it. So, but they might as well just delist the whatever Ubisoft made last year. Well, I shouldn't be such an ass because it had the multiplayer stuff a little more embedded in it. And Tetris Effect doesn't have multiplayer. But, you know, it does have multiplayer. Puyo Puyo versus Tetris has a decent multiplayer in it. And it has Puyo Puyo. So, you know, I still think they'll inevitably do a Tetris Effect 2. I mean, I really hope they do. I just... As long as Tetsuya Mizuguchi gets to keep making games,
I think I just do DLC.
Maybe. I would love to see them just do more skins and songs, maybe some commercial stuff as DLC.
That's what they did with Luminous.
Yeah, well, remember when Luminous on 360, I know I've brought this up before, remember when we went to that E3 and they were showing Luminous on 360 with like MTV-type songs as skins. And this never came out, but I played Madonna's Sorry. That song and that music video was a Luminous skin that they never released for whatever reason. I don't know if the licensing fell through or what, but that was something I played at E3 and I was super excited about it. I remember not being able to really hear it on the show floor, but it had the video with Madonna dancing, and the only stuff we ever really got was all like the in-house like Genki Rockets and all that stuff. They never did like actual songs.
Probably thought they couldn't get the return on investment.
Maybe, I don't know. But Luminous 2 on PSP, which people don't talk about as much as the original, Luminous 2 had a lot of commercial stuff in it. It had like Holla Back Girl, it had a Missy Elliott song, it had Beck, It had like a lot of commercial stuff in it.
Yeah, I sort of remember that now.
Yeah, it was actually a really... But I don't know why people didn't like that version of the game as much. I thought it was great. But anyway. All right. Well, sadly, that's it looks like the well is pretty dry on phone calls, but that's okay. You guys did great on emails tonight. If you do think of anything you would like to email us about, you can send us an email, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. If you don't send us emails, I mean, look out, because they just announced RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 4. So I'll have plenty to talk about. All right. Anyway, that's about going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. I want to thank you guys for listening to our show and being here every week to support us. Really appreciate it. And if you like what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show and help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but only if the voices are here to air them. So please, a nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes or Google Play Podcasts or wherever it is you heard about this. Those go a long way as well. I am aware that you can get more podcasts on Spotify. That is a direction I will go with OLR soon. But behind the scenes, we're going to be moving our hosting around the same time that we moved to Twitch. So for that reason, I've held off on the Spotify submission. But I know that's something on people's radar, and I will get us there soon. So, but otherwise, we're in a lot of podcasting places as it is. I think that's all I have to say. So I think we can go around and get final thoughts. Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is I have a hell of a migraine, and I'm not sure if it's because I spent the whole day with the kids or because of the smoke.
Probably.
Or a little bit of both.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, for sure, for sure. And I guess on that note, my final thought is I hope people are okay after the fires. I hope they're able to build stuff back. It's so horrible reading about all that and knowing that I've been to a town that doesn't exist anymore. It's really weird, but my thoughts are with everybody affected by that. And for those near the smoke, stay indoors, play some video games. That's probably the best thing to do right now. Have a great night, everybody. We'll see you next time in 2 weeks on the next episode of Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice. I will see you in Las Vegas next week. If you're going to be at Final Fantasy Fan Fest by chance, hit me up on Twitter at Mr. Rob Roberts and come say hello. We'll see you back here in 2 weeks. Those of you in the States, have a great Thanksgiving, since we'll miss that. But we'll be back that weekend, that Sunday, with a new show. So that's it. Good night, everybody. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.